here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. It's 25th of February 2014. I'm your host Xavier Wills, and this week I'm joined not only by Scotty Goble, my co-host, but also my other co-host, Michael Galley. Boys, I want to mention this episode is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Scoop, shake, and get shredded. Now, boys, we haven't done this in a while now, but I'm excited to have you both on the show, and this is the official Arnold Classic preview show, where we're going to be previewing the Arnold Classic, and we've got a few great guests on as well. We've got Luke McNally, owner of Mass Nutrition, and Luke actually told me there's like over 40 stores around Australia and New Zealand now, so that's massive. And we've also got Joseph Pitt, who's an Optimum Nutrition sponsored athlete, and he's doing the Men's Physique Pro Qualifier. So
I'm a massive fan of Joseph Pitt.
Scotty, don't act up. You're not a big fan of Men's Physique, full stop.
I had no idea who he was.
Now, Scotty, you're obviously, you know, under 2 weeks out now, I believe. How's the prep going? How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's going really well. I don't know what to add to, you know, my usual weekly updates. I'm very happy with where I'm at. I'm juggling things. I'm pretty much ready to go from a, you know, body fat standpoint. And if conditioning is 95% getting your body fat down, then even if I really mess up, I should still be looking pretty good on the day. So, yeah, I'm confident that I'll be at my best.
Awesome. Mick, how's your week been?
Mate, good week. Probably a lot better than you guys. You guys are both, what, 12 days out?
Yep.
From FedEx. I've enjoyed a very big weekend of lots of food. And I had Sadek was up here again doing his skins and that with Chris Thomas, the master trainer at the moment, it seems to be. So we all went out for dinner Saturday night and all caught up. And that was both their cheat meal. So Chris is 3 weeks out from the Omara Classic, and Jimmy's obviously getting ready for the WBF, and yeah.
Chris Thomas is doing the Omara.
Well, it's official now, isn't it?
That's awesome. I like to hear that.
Okay.
I saw that he's 3 weeks out, but I had no idea that he's doing the Omara.
Yeah, he's going for the World Qual. He wants to go to Brazil in November, and I told him if he's going to Brazil in November, I'm coming with him.
Awesome. So he's another one to add to the crew over here.
He is, mate, yes, and that's looking to be a really good show. Scott?
Look, I would love to be there. As we've discussed, I think Muscle Meals is sponsoring the Australasias, and I absolutely love my Muscle Meals. I'd do anything for them. They really look after me to the point where they're just completely tailoring my diet menu and off-season menu to anything I want. So I very well could be up at the Australasias serving people food and eating lots of food. If I'm not, then I'll come over to the Omara Classic for sure.
Awesome. And Scotty, the thing is, if you're over here, the Omara Classic has, they've got 2,000 seated tickets they're selling up night show. Last year they sold, I think it was 1,200 seated tickets, which was sold out. And then they had 500 standing room that they sold. So they had 1,750 people there last year. And this year apparently they're going to sell out. So if you come to over here and you wear a Muscle Meals t-shirt and you get up on stage, I'm sure if you will, to present an award or whatever, and and you know, obviously, if you're turning pro, then you're going to get up on stage and people are going to take notice and stuff. So, if I was Luke Shembri, I'd be sending over here regardless.
Well, look, if I turn pro, I might put it on Mike O'Mara to actually fly me over so I can do a guest posing, and that way I can convince Luke that I'll be of more value over there in Perth. So, we'll see how we go.
Xavier, let's put the screws on Mike.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Hey, just touching on that. Scott, I know you're dieting that, but have you tried the tandoori chicken?
I tried it when all the sponsored athletes, with the exception of you, were invited to a taste testing back in December.
Yeah.
When I was there with the Tibbs and Gretchy and Rufus and Wessels, yeah. So we were all there, but message Mick. Are you going to the Taste of the Week? Oh, I don't know anything about it.
What does that tell you? I'm like I'm the third tier sponsored athlete with Muscle Meals Direct. Clearly,
that's a slap in the face.
Yeah. I thought you wouldn't be on the ball 12 days out from a comp, Scott, but you are.
It was funny you said, the 12 days out from a comp, because last Thursday I get this text message from Mick, like most text messages from Mick, I pretty much just ignore it, but it said 15 days till you're pro.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, is he trying to encourage me in a just putting pressure on you kind of way? Is that meant to be a, version of good luck, buddy, I'm rooting for you, I hope you turn pro? Or is it in 15 days, it's the men's physique pro qualifier, because it's a Thursday. So is he trying to just do my head in like that?
Yeah.
Maybe Mick's just a little confused. That's a possibility. Motivation was to mess with my head, it did confuse me.
As soon as I sent that text, I went, oh, fuck, I've mucked it up by a day. And you not replying, as you usually don't anyway, to me, I thought, oh, well, Scott's clearly picked up on it and thinks I'm a dickhead. But it was sent with all intentions of trying to, I'm behind you 100%. So anyway, 12 days to your pro, mate.
thank you for...
at least I'm thinking of you. Hey?
Scotty, I interviewed Josh Lenardowicz, because I've been asking him for a while, and we kind of, our times didn't work out and stuff like that, but I managed to tee it up, and that's going to be on actually next week's show, so I'm trying to get all my interviews in early, so I'm not 6 days out trying to interview people and stressing out about getting interviews done and all that stuff, so I did it early, but Scotty, he's coming for you, it sounds like, he's going to be ready, you're going to be ready, it sounds very... very, very intense. It sounds like he's probably doing it, I don't know, the way he was talking, sounds like he's doing it pretty tough at the moment. And Chad Nichols is definitely, who's prepping him, is definitely a bit of a slave driver. So,
yeah, I've heard he's doing it tough. Big Josh is a great guy and a great bodybuilder. So there's no guarantees that anyone's walking away with this one. I think it's going to be tight regardless. And we've still got other dudes in the lineup as well. So.
Yeah, we've got Andrew Crawford as well, who has been over there with Dennis James.
Exactly.
There's been a few people talking him up, saying he's going to be a lot better as well. So it's going to be exciting. I mean, I'm very, very excited to see you three up there. And I mean, is anyone else doing it? Because we've had a few people drop out, which is unfortunate. But, I mean, the quality is definitely there.
Kazunian and Jenkins are out. Kazunian, obviously, because of injuries. Jenkins probably just, had a... reality check. Benny Townsend's in.
So we've got four of us. Right, Benny's in. Yeah.
It's this is the thing about this whole
who's prepping Benny? Trev?
Yeah, maybe. I think Trev's prepping everyone.
Have we got any more news on that, Scott?
Trev did actually contact me to confirm that everything we said on last week's show was apparently spot on, that Mike's team is helping him with his diet in the lead up to the show, and Big Trev is certainly helping him out with a lot of advice and questioning those dieting procedures. So it sounds like everything's on track, I guess, in a weird kind of way.
Let's hope for Gary's sake that he's not he's focused on what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
I don't know if Trev actually said those exact words to you, Scotty, but...
Well, in a roundabout way. I mean, there was another thing thrown in there, but he did say that Mike was helping him with the last phase of his contest diet, and he also said that he was giving Gary a whole lot of advice, and including dietary advice. So, it sounds like what we mentioned, a Ron Norman, George Farah type situation for Kai Greene. Which in the end turned out fantastic for Kai Greene, didn't it? He looked amazing at that Olympia.
Exactly. Mm. So it might work for Gary as well. So I got a sneaky little picture from Adam Browner the other day, and Adam was playing games with me. He sent me a photo. It was his chest, and it was like someone's chest, and it looked ridiculously thick, like very, very thick. And then he basically said, "Oh, I got this picture of someone who's doing the pro qualifier 212." Apparently, and I don't know who it is and stuff like that. He said, "Gary Wright?" And I was thinking, yeah, it's probably Gary's chest. It looks thick, kind of have that look about it. And I said back to him, I said, "Oh, thick as fuck." I said, "Not too many striations." And I said, "Don't worry about it. Just concentrate on yourself, blah, blah." And then he comes back and he goes, He goes, it's mine, or something like that. I was like, oh, fuck. He's like, no striations, haha. And I was like, oh, fucker. His chest looks, like he said, you know, don't show any of this photo, but he didn't say I couldn't talk about it. So he's looking, I mean, if he dries up and stuff, he's going to be very, I mean, you know, just by his chest and just a few other little arm shots and stuff like that I've seen, he's going to be impressive.
He did send me a picture 2 weeks ago that he hasn't put up at all either. And that was pretty freaky. The same, the fullness is incredible on him. It's just get that dryness out in him. And Cutler, I speak to Cutler's training partner a lot, Shane. Shane's brother, we used to train together years ago for a very long time, and he's promised me Cutler's on. Cutler's ready.
Cutler's always on.
Cutler's always on.
Is he doing the 212 of the Open? Because I've heard people say that he's definitely doing the 212. Yeah. Then I've heard people say he's not going to make it. So
Shane, he wouldn't come out and say it, but if I'm going to go off my gut, I'm thinking Dave's going under.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to guess that as well, but I mean, yeah, it could be, I don't know, he probably could go either way. I mean, if you can't weigh in, you can't weigh in, so.
Mm-hmm. But, he's got to weigh in on the Saturday morning, so it depends on what he does, I suppose, with his carb up. He might just be that relaxed and that confident that he just lets the scales do whatever the hell they want, comes in at his best.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking, so it's going to be very, very interesting, and I actually found out on the weekend, because I was wondering how tall I was, and I was thinking, okay, well, I'm not dropping much weight, I might actually be an issue for me. Getting under, you know, if I have to be 87 kilos, it might be, you know, I might not be able to do much of a carb up and stuff like that. And I actually measured myself on the weekend. I was 2 centimeters taller, so I can be 89 kilos. So I was quite happy, and that works in my advantage for my class anyway.
So what's your height?
I'm 183, so I'm 6 foot, actually. I thought I was 5'11 and a half, but I don't know. Holly was measuring me, and I wasn't trusting her measuring skills. She's like putting the thing flat on the ground. I'm like, no, that's a centimeter different and stuff. So, yeah. I don't know, I'll get re-measured, but yeah, I'm 6 foot apparently, so happy with that. But anyway, guys, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the 2014 Arnold Classic, and we're going to preview that show. We're going to do the Men's Open and the 212, because obviously we've got the Women's Show now, so we're going to, me and Amy Fox will concentrate on that this week on the show. But
I'm loving that show, by the way. I get excited when that appears in my iTunes.
I like when you plug that. I like that, so... I mean, I like that you said that, and then you plugged it on the show, so that's good. But, yeah, it's. I mean, that show's going really, really, really well, and we've got this week coming up, we've got Anne-Marie Lasserre, who's doing a pro show, which a lot of people actually don't know about. She hasn't really put it out there.
She's looking fantastic too, mate.
Yeah, so I'll see how she goes. So I'll be talking to her actually later today. I'm doing that interview for this week's show, and we're going to have a few more great guests on there as well. And but yeah, anyway, moving on, we're going to talk about the 2014 Arnold Classic. And I mean, one thing we've got to mention during the week, a big news story, Rolly Winkler is actually broken on, he's a flex athlete, but it's broken on rxmuscle.com that he actually, you know, he had an accident, motorbike accident, just only a few weeks out from the Arnold Classic. He got basically almost like a puncture in his leg almost, where it took out some, you know, a bit of skin. It looked like it got right in on the muscle, and he had, you know, he had some, you know, scarring and stuff like that elsewhere. Well, maybe not scarring, but a lot of big grazes and stuff like that elsewhere on his body. And basically it forced him to have to withdraw not only from the Arnold Classic, but from the Australian Pro, which is, I mean, he was one of the guys coming in that could potentially have won this Arnold Classic. So, I mean, he's got to be shattered. I mean, Scotty, did you give him much chance of winning this Arnold Classic?
Look, no, I didn't, but I had him as a pretty solid third. And an absolute freak in a massive draw card. So, I was pretty upset. Like, if all the guys that were coming to the Aussie Pro Show, you know, I probably wanted to see Roden, and I'm a massive Senapani fan, but I just, the freak factor that Rolly brought to the Olympia, and if he'd improved upon that, man, it would have been something else. So it is disappointing. Did you see the actual crash itself where he T-boned the car with his bike?
No, yeah. I haven't.
Man, it was one hell of a crash. Like, he basically embedded his bike into the side of a car and went over the top of it. It's, you look at it and you go, that's a fatality. But Rolly apparently just skidded and bounced around on top of the road and came up all good.
Oh my God, it sounds like he's pretty lucky, man.
Yeah, he was definitely lucky. It's a shame, obviously, for the fans and everything else, but that Tony's working on signing up a few last minute guys. I mean, he's heading over to the Arnold tomorrow. He flies out with Amanda. So me and Mick have seen him at work at the Olympia frantically signing people up. So he's probably gone over with contracts printed up, flights booked, you know, the hotline to the embassy to organise visas, and he'll be doing his best to get a couple extra people here, I'm sure.
Tony's awesome. I love Tony. But do you think, I mean, Mick, I'll ask you first. Do you think Quincy Winkler would have actually got this invite to the 212 Arnold Classic if Rolly was never competing? Because, I mean, that's kind of a... did that up as a bit of a story, you know, Quincy, his younger brother in the 212s, and then Rolly in the Open.
Right, mate, I don't actually know much about Quincy at all. I haven't even seen any sort of recent photos with him, so I guess he was probably allowed to go on that comp mainly because of his brother as well. It does look good having, you know, two brothers, one in the 212 and one in the Open.
Yeah, exactly, and I mean, yeah, it is interesting that, you know, like, he's not in it now, so it kind of sucks in that regard, but... I mean, we've got two really good lineups. I mean, the 212 actually has more guys than the Open. So we'll talk about the Open first. And it's just, there's about 10 or so guys, 10 or 11 guys in the Open, but it's all really quality. So we'll start at the top of the list. Evan Santopani, he's a guy that just a couple of years ago at the Arnold Classic placed top three with Branch and Dennis Wolf. And I thought that was a really close top three. And I thought Evan actually should have been second in that show where he placed third. I mean, you know, going from that, you know, he was up against the favourite there, Dennis Wolf, who eventually got second and Branch Warren won. I mean, they were very comparable there, and I think people are counting Evan out now. Scotty, do you think Evan can potentially come in at his very best and win the show?
He could, but he's relying on Dennis and Sean Roden being off. I don't think he's ever beaten Dennis Wolf, and he hasn't always gone up against the last version of Dennis Wolf we saw at the Mr. Olympia. Dennis has pipped him at the Arnold Classic on a couple of occasions. He's beaten him at the Olympia on a couple of occasions. So I think you'd have to assume that Dennis will beat Evan. And look, Sean Roden, I don't know that Evan's ever beaten Sean Roden, so... those two have got to be the strong favourites, and unless Evan is significantly improved, and I'm not sure how that could happen in the time span from the Olympia, I'd say he'd be hard-pressed to win it.
Yeah. Mick, what do you think about Evan? Do you think he can do it?
Mate, I don't have him up there either. I've actually got him fourth in my picks, so that's obviously way down a bit. I still don't think he's brought up his... He does put up photos lately that are quite flattering for his physique, but I don't think he's brought his back or chest up enough yet to rival these other guys.
Yeah. He had that just not too long ago. When was it? When he's preparing for the Olympia, he had that little bit of a real minor pec tear. I wonder if that's kind of impacted his training at all.
Yeah, possibly. It still could be a hindrance. I mean, that was his glaring weak point from day one. It's always going to be a hard thing for him to improve on because his shoulders and arms are so outstanding, and they're obviously taking a hell of a lot of the workload when he does do chest. Like I said, mate, I've still got him down, and I had him down in fourth.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Now, Brandon Curry, he's a guy that kind of, he's been the most frustrating pro for me in the IFBB. He's come into the, you know, he's come in and, you know, there's so much hype around him. He's got a good contract with BSN. He's you know, he's looks like he's always about to break out, and he seemed like he almost did have a breakout comp last year at the Arnold Classic. I think it was the Arnold Classic Spain where he actually won that, which has to be, I think that's going to be probably his career highlight for his entire career, winning the Arnold Classic Spain. It's an Arnold Classic Brazil, sorry. Just correcting myself. But he's very frustrating because he rarely comes in condition. He did it once at the Olympia. The Arnold Classic Brazil, he was pretty good. I think he still could have been better. And just by virtue of a lineup that he won that, in my opinion. But, I mean, do you think Brandon can actually make an impact at this contest, mate?
He's definitely got the tools to do it. He's got some beautiful, like some of his muscles are perfectly shaped. Fullness is there, roundness. He's got that tiny waist. His weak point was glaring where his legs for a few years. They tend to have come up. He's actually had a bit of video footage go up in the last few weeks of him training. And he is looking quite good. It just depends if he can nail that conditioning, mate. And like you said, he's only done it a couple of times. That's once where he got seventh in the Olympia and also when he's won the Arnold. Apart from that, he's been way too up and down. So going on that, you've got to think consistency-wise, it's in all chance he probably won't bring that real dryness that he needs for this comp. Genetics alone, though, I've still got him midway through the pack, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, I love Brandon's shape and everything like that, but the thing about Brandon is that, I mean, you look at a training, like you said, there's been some training footage come out of him, his camp and stuff lately, and I've seen it, and I say, you know, he looks good. He's got, you know, some lines in his muscles and stuff. But then you look at it like a training video of, like, Branch or someone. And you look at Branch, and you go, how can you stand Curry next to Branch with that gnarly condition and stuff compared to someone who looks quite, watery and smooth most of the time. It just doesn't have that kind of real popping, crazy, grainy granite hard muscle. So it's I mean, even though I don't like Branch's physique personally, when you stand next to Curry, it's like it's, I mean, especially in person, there's so much difference. Scotty, do you kind of agree with that, or do you think that maybe the shape should win over the grainy craziness?
Could I see him beating Branch? Maybe. Yeah, I could, but I doubt the judges will, because they seem to really like Branch. And like Mick said, he can't have a whole lot of confidence in his conditioning. I mean, he's got it right on a couple of occasions, and even then it was, you know, 95, not 100%. Once he came eighth in the Olympia, and he beat some pretty good guys, and the other time he won the Arnold Brazil. So when he's on, he's pretty impressive. And yeah, genetically, he's got all the potential. I think his lower body and overall size will still hold him back against the elite in this lineup, but yeah, it's going to come down to conditioning. If he absolutely 100% dialed it in on the money, he could be vying for a, you know, top five or something like that. But it's, yeah, you can't really imagine that happening based on his track record.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Tony Freeman, he's got a guy that, I mean, he seemed to fade lately. Do you think there's any chance of him kind of making a resurgence, either of you? Like, Scotty, do you think there's a chance where he could come back and get a top six or something?
No, I don't. I think Tony's starting to regress. I think his legs are disappearing. I don't think he can, you know, at 47 or whatever he is now, can dial in the lower back and glutes like he used to. I honestly could see Tony coming last.
Yep. He's actually, because what we're doing after this, it'll probably be the next segment, we're doing like a betting type thing. And I basically created some odds and stuff like that where it's like, you know, Dennis Wolf's $2.50 to 1, and you know, Sean Rogan's $3 to 1 stuff. And Tony Freeman is my biggest outsider to win it because I just can't see him winning it. So he's like 80 to 1. But Mick, do you think there's any chance for Tony still?
No, I think that time's come and gone, mate. Unfortunately, age does catch up with everyone, and as Scott's pointed out, he is starting to lose it in those points. You know, his lower back, his quads, his legs are diminishing every time you see them. I did put a picture on our ARC site not long ago, 12 days out, and I mean, Tony usually is conditioned at 12 days out. It's really excellent, and he still looked a little bit off. So, yeah, unfortunately, I'm the same. I can really see Tony slipping right down.
Which is a bit upsetting because, I mean, I love Tony, and I love his physique and everything. And he, I mean, like, in reality, he still looks freaking awesome. Like, if you put him on, you know, in a regular pro comp, like a smaller tier one, he still looks sensational. And if he can, you know, bring his condition in a little bit tighter, into some of those shows, even if he is a little bit flat, he can still do. I can still see him doing well. And people say, oh, you know, Al Beckles went into his well into his 50s or 60 or whatever, how old he competed to. But the thing is that, you know, the guys back then weren't at the level these guys are at. So
yeah, but Al was a genetic freak too, mate. If you ever saw it, this guy was incredible.
Yeah, exactly. So, but obviously the game has changed a bit now, and you know, you got to bring in that. You've got to bring in a lot of size. You've got to bring in more size than you had to bring in, you know, back in the 80s and stuff. But
I think one thing you have to really respect about Tony, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, Xavier, a couple of weeks out from a comp, is how the hell does someone string so many shows back to back to back? I mean, it pretty much takes one contest prep for me to develop a intolerance for the sport, and then I want to pretty much take a year off. The professionalism and consistency of a bloke who just comes back time and time again and does, you know, 10 pro shows in a year is just phenomenal.
It's unbelievable. Like, it's because, you know, obviously you and I are in this, you know, like we're less than 2 weeks out now, Scotty, and we're both kind of, I'm sure, a lot of the times on struggle street with trying to, you know, motivate ourselves to just do daily tasks and all that kind of stuff. But you know, doing this time after time and hitting show after show, it's just amazing. And I actually heard an interview yesterday on Blue Collar Muscle Radio, which is on rxmuscle.com, and it was Shelby Starnes and John Meadows interviewing Milos Sarchev. And Milos hit, I mean, every IFBB pro comp for, I think it was almost 3 years in a row. I think it was 3 years in a row, Milos said. So he's done over 100 shows, Milos has, and it's just insane. I don't know how someone would do that. And he was actually at his best when he's doing that. So, Scotty, it blows my mind.
Yeah, it is pretty incredible. I mean, there weren't quite as many shows around back then, but yeah, Milos was basically just always in shape. And like you said, he was guest posing when he wasn't competing. So he was just on the money year round. And It blows my mind. I just have no desire to immerse myself in the lifestyle to that degree 12 months of the year. I can handle it. I can handle it for 4 months. And this has been a really good prep for me. It's been reasonably balanced, but I would still like a little more freedom to do some other things.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Because you get that thing in your head where it's like, you know, right as we're recording this, I'm not feeling too bad, but, you know, like yesterday or whatever, I was like, you know, oh, this bodybuilding thing, maybe once every few years I'll compete, or, you know, every 3 years because it's just too much. And so like, you go through things like that, then, you know, you might get around to next comp season and want to do it. But anyway, we won't get too far off topic. Cedric McMillan, he's a guy, he's my dark horse of this show. Not many people are talking about him at all coming into this. And last year, he was actually coming in. Him and Dexter were coming in as the favourites. And people forget that last year coming to the Arnold, him and Dexter were dubbed as the favourites. Probably Cedric was the favourite. And obviously it didn't turn out for Cedric. He placed down in, I think, fifth place. And but a lot of people said it was a big disappointment. He had, you know, issues with his tan. I think he's maybe holding a little bit of water. He just wasn't confident, didn't come out and hit the stage hard. He looked like he just, you know, kind of almost didn't stand out, which is pretty hard for someone with that crazy shape and look to his physique. I mean, Scotty, do you think that people are underrating him and he could come out and really shock people and possibly win the show?
I think he's the only guy with the size and genetic shape and everything else that could potentially win the show that's not named Dennis Wolfe or Sean Roden. So, yes, yeah, look, I do think he can. He's another one that just based on track record, you just go, you know, he'll be good, but he just won't be outstanding. So, look, I'm a massive Cedric fan. I'd love to see him dial it in. There was a picture of his hamstring at 3 or 4 weeks out and people were getting excited and all this sort of stuff, but I've just seen it too many times in the past. Like, I looked at that hamstring and I went, it's hard, you know, but it's not gnarly, freaky, grainy, hard or anything mind-blowing. So, I don't know if he just doesn't push it to the absolute extremes or he doesn't set the benchmark high enough for himself and he gets tight everywhere without, you know, really going for it. I'm not sure what it is with Cedric. Maybe his body just doesn't have that look to it because of some other factor, but he does have the potential to really shake shit up. But you know, again, you struggle to put him in your top 3 or 4.
Yeah. It's rough. I mean, it's hard to know where to put Cedric, but Mick, do you think Cedric has a chance?
Oh, I agree with exactly what you two guys have said. 100% if he's on, he could knock... I've got Wolf as my favourite to win. He could knock Wolf off. And you remember when this guy turned pro, I mean, 8-time Mr. Olympia Lee Haney said that this was the guy that it reminded him a lot of himself, which is a massive rap. Again, consistency. We haven't seen it many times where Cedric's come in, you know, at 100%, which leads you to think, you know, is it going to be any different this time? 100%, like I said, if he's on, he could be number one, but I don't even have him in my top six, and that's mainly because I just don't think he's going to bring it.
Yeah. Now, Victor Martinez, he's a guy that, I mean, he could shock some people and plays quite well. I don't think he can win, personally. Do either of you guys have a different opinion on that?
I don't think he can win, but he could still be improving because the thing with Vic was he had all that time off with the incarceration and the broken arm. So he could still be tapping into that muscle memory and growing into it. So if he's back to his biggest and look, he's brought some good conditioning recently, then you never know. Victor, he might be thinking this is almost my last hurrah. I'm absolutely going for it. And he might have a new level of motivation. So he could shake things up. But again, you know, it's probably a case of his best is behind him and he's going to start slipping down the order now.
I think he's going to add, to be honest, I think he's going to add more size and he's going to be his you know, best since he's come back anyway. So he did look quite good after the Olympia, so I'm thinking he's going to be quite good and, you know, push for a top six. Mick, do you see Victor doing any good in this show?
I don't have him fighting for the top placings. I do have him in my top six, but he is improving. I mean, he made his comeback at the New York Pro. He then improved by the time of the Olympia. He then improved again condition-wise for the Arnold. And then we've seen a photo of him 4 weeks out, and he looks better there as well. So anything's possible with Victor. If his head's right, anything's possible. I don't see him battling for those top positions, but I do definitely see him up there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Next guy on the list is Ed Nunn. He's out there training in Golds with Sean Roden, who's obviously doing the show as well. Apparently, Ed's looking his best ever from what I've, you know, from what's been going around, and people are talking him up a bit this year. Do you think Ed can? I mean, Scotty, do you think Ed can fill up that frame enough at his age? You know, over 40, to actually be a factor and maybe place in a decent placing here? Because, you know, I don't think he's knocking off the top guys, but do you think he can kind of get the fullness to, you know, perhaps compete?
No, because you can pick holes in his physique. And in a lineup of this depth and quality, all the judges need is to see an obvious hole, whether it be development or conditioning, and bang, you're out of the first call out, bang, you're out of the second call out. So Ed's, you know, shallow through the torso. It's just, I think the way he's built, and I don't think he can improve enough at his age. So, no, I haven't got Ed in the running.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Mick, what do you think about Ed?
Exactly the same, mate. I don't think he's not going to be up there at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, Ben Bukalski, you haven't heard as much out of him, really, because, you know, he didn't compete at the Olympia. We're more talking about the guys that have done the Olympia and done well. But, I mean, Ben Bukalski, I think people forget how well he placed. I don't know if it was it last year or the year before, Scotty?
Last year he came second.
Last year he got second. So, I mean, a guy that got second last year in the Arnold Classic, only to Dexter Jackson, and he's not really being talked about much. I mean, that's, you know, it was a weaker Arnold Classic, but he beat out a lot of good guys too. So, I mean, Scotty, could you see a repeat performance?
Yeah, look, I think Ben's going to do really well. I think Ben is always improved. I think Ben's got the conditioning aspect absolutely nailed down, so I expect him to be completely rock hard. It's just a case of whether he's brought his back up enough to stand with the absolute top guys. But from the front lunge spread, standing relaxed at the front, most muscular, he's as good as anyone. It's just whether he can be comparable in the back shots now.
Yeah, that's definitely fair enough. What do you think, Mick?
Yeah, I've got Ben up there, mate. I think we're going to see the best version of Ben that we have.
Yeah, I think we probably will too, but I'm finding it hard to find a place for him, like where to put him in. And it's so kind of like there's a lot of close guys up there, so I'm not even knowing where to put him. But we'll move on. We'll talk about a guy who is, I suppose, one of the joint favourites for this show, probably, you know, the second favourite, you'd say. That's Sean Flexitron Roden, who's been prepped by RX Muscle's own Chris Aceto. He's going to be out here in Australia as well just a week later, and he could be coming out here as the 2014 Arnold Classic champion. I mean, I'm big raps on Sean Roden. I mean, he did, for me at the Olympia, he didn't make the improvements that I thought he would. I thought he might be a little bit better. You know, some people said he had maybe even lost a bit of size in his back, which is a little bit worrying. But overall, I thought he looked really good at the Olympia. The year before, was he better? I don't know. It's hard to say without, you know, being there and stuff like that, but I mean, there's a picture I sent both of you guys this morning of his legs. It was after his last leg training session where he's wearing some skins and stuff, but you can see through the skins, basically his glutes are shredded. He's very hard and they just look crazy full. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that, you know, if Dennis Wolf is off, that Sean Roden will automatically slide in and win this show?
Mick, you can go first and I can agree with you this time.
Mate, I think Sean's going to look very similar to how he did at the Olympia. That photo he sent, the leg shot, was pretty freaky, but obviously that's been taken after he's trained legs and he's all pumped up. I've still got Sean extremely high, and that's going on his past few looks. He definitely comes in condition. He's got beautiful shape and symmetry. Doesn't lack any body parts. It's just kind of come down to a matter of where the judges really want to put him, because you've obviously got a few different physiques turning up, like the bigger guys. But I've got Sean up in the top couple.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've got him. I won't say where I've got him yet, but I've definitely got him right up there.
And I you've got him first.
Yeah, I've got him first.
But I've got him as an absolute 100% lock for top two. He just doesn't come in off. So when you don't come in off, that gives me a lot of confidence. When you've also combined that with probably the best genetic shape on stage and some pretty awesome overall development. So, yeah, I honestly think the only people that could maybe beat him are also very, very structurally sound guys, which are just bigger than him, Cedric and Dennis. And as we've discussed, I don't think Cedric can. And look, Dennis and Sean have gone back and forth over the past year or two, and Dennis is not a lock when it comes to conditioning, so putting Sean in first isn't a bad bet.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm so excited for seeing like Sean Roden and what he brings, because he hasn't really done a huge amount of shows. I mean, since actually, you know, he made those improvements from the Olympia. He did obviously the Olympia just gone, and then he did the Olympia before that with the shows afterwards. But, you know, we've only really seen two versions, you know what I mean? So I'm excited to see this one and to see if it is improved on what he brought to the Olympia. Now, Fred Smalls, he's a guy that, almost like Brandon Curry, he's frustrating because he doesn't, he rarely brings his condition, like plain and simple. He rarely brings it. I mean, he's a very exciting poser. That's what I like about him. And he's actually going to be out here for the Australian Pro, isn't he, Scotty?
He is, yeah. He's 100% signed. So, Fred Biggie Smalls, if for no other reason, go see the night show just for his posing routine. It'll be worth every penny.
Yeah, I actually, when I asked that question, man, I was thinking, shit, did I just have a dream that he was coming out here because I enjoy his posing and stuff? Like, because I've been having dreams lately and thinking about reality, so I don't know. Mine's playing tricks on me. But Mick, he's obviously an awesome poser, but do you think that he can bring it and do something?
Yeah, his posing's freaking awesome to watch, mate. I love it, but I don't know. He's not going to be up there in those high placings at all. I've got him down towards the back.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Branch Warren, multiple-time Arnold Classic champion. Not many people are giving him much of a chance. There's a few people in his camp and around him saying, you know, this is going to be the best Branch. Like, you wait and see. Like, people are writing him off, but he's going to come back. Now, we've seen a few versions of Branch lately that have disappointed. Like, flat out, like, you know, he's had a few comps where he's disappointed. And people say, you know, he doesn't have a physique to come back like a Dexter does or whatever. But, you know, to be honest, like, I mean, I don't love Branch's physique either. And I think he looks a little bit beat up and things like that. But we saw Branch a few years back. I don't know if it was like 2-3 years ago. And people were saying he's gone downhill. He will not come back. His physique looks beat up. He looks all torn up in terms of, you know, his muscles and stuff like that. And he came back and did really freaking well. Can he do it again? I don't know. But I think people are writing Branch off a little bit too soon, you know, as much as I don't rate his physique that much. Scotty, do you think he's done, or do you think the best he can still nail something close to his best?
I think he's done. But the thing that concerns me is that Tony Doherty is really big on Branch. Like, he's like, he's spoken to Branch personally on a number of occasions, and I guess Branch is never a bloke who's ever been short of self-belief, but he's convinced Tony that he's coming in at his all-time best. He's figured out all his issues when it comes to peaking, and he'll, you know, he's not happy with his Olympia placing. He's super motivated, and he's going to be on the money. So, look, for me personally, no, I think Branch is going to be on a steady downhill slide. He's got a lot of gifts from the judges, in my opinion anyway, and it is just an opinion. But I think the Olympia was a bit of an omen for Branch that you're no longer getting a real favourable look anymore. There's just too many good guys out there, so I don't see Branch as any sort of threat. I don't even think I'll squeeze him into my top five.
Yeah, fair enough. Dennis Wolf, he's the favourite coming in our open list. He impressed me so much at the Olympia. Like, he, to me, I could have had him in second, at least by prejudging, I would have had him in second. And he just looked impressive. Like, he just nailed a package that I thought that he could not do. Like, flat out, I didn't think he could bring that fullness and that hardness together and just really nail it. I mean, it's probably the fullest he's just about been, and it was just about close to hardest he's been, probably. Do you think he'll do it again, Scotty, or do you think we'll see a less version of the Olympia?
Well, that is the question, isn't it? So, look, Dennis goes in as favourite on the basis of his Olympia showing. He is the higher-ranked competitor, so he deserves that favourite status. Can he bring a lot of the O? Well, we've only really seen that look from Dennis once, so maybe not. I'm hoping he does, because when Dennis is 100% on, he is super impressive, and I'm predicting that he's going to win.
Yeah, he couldn't do it after the Olympia, that's the thing. Like, there's a show a week or two after the Olympia, and he couldn't bring it then. And he did come in noticeably, you know, just not what he looked like at the Olympia, basically. So, more often than not, he doesn't bring that perfect combination. But, I mean, still, a lot of the times, he still comes in very good. So I'm wondering if he's good, or very good, is good enough to win, rather than just his, you know, perfect/great condition package that he brings to the stage. Mick, do you think a good Dennis Wolf can still win this, or do you think he'll have to be near the Olympia?
Oh, I'd love to see him come in, just how he looked at that Olympia. He looked looked amazing there, fullness, the hardness. There was a case for him, you know, beating Kai Green there as well. I mean, a lot of people in that audience thought he could have pushed him in, you know, could have slipped up in the second place. I can't see anyone beating Wolf if he comes in how he did at that Olympia, so he's my clear favourite.
Yeah, that's fair enough. See what he looks like up against Sean Roden and get that real comparison between those two. And I'm sure there's going to be someone else. Like, whether it's a Cedric McMillan, whether it's a Branch Warren, whether it's a Ben Pekulski that comes in his all-time best, I think it's going to be someone else that's going to maybe push for that. I don't know if it's going to, or even Zendapani even. I don't know if it's just going to be just a top two clear cut, because that's how people are dubbing it. But I think there might be someone else that's, you know, shocks us and kind of comes in really, really good. But
guys, I think Wolf's the guy that you could see slip down for some reason, you know, like I can't imagine Sean coming in fifth. Like, it just, yeah. But I could imagine Dennis Wolf coming in fifth, or I could imagine Dennis Wolf easily winning.
Yeah, no,
it just comes to that conditioning. You know?
Yeah, I think, I don't think Wolf would be any lower than fifth, just based on his name and stuff like that. I mean, we got an off Cedric last year, and I think he came in fifth. So I don't think he's gonna fall lower than fifth. But yeah, like you said, if he just doesn't nail it and he walks out and looks okay when he first walks out and then fades like he has in the past, then yeah, we can see him definitely push down a few places, like maybe just make first call out, and then maybe even just, you know, get compared with the second lot of guys that they bring out. So I can definitely see that happening, but, you know, for obviously the comp's sake, I hope not. But, guys, let's launch into our top five predictions. And who wants to start? Because I'm not starting.
No, I'll do mine. I've got Wolf winning. I've got Sean coming in second. I've got Ben third. I've got Evan fourth. And I've actually got Victor coming in at fifth.
Victor in fifth.
Mm.
Fair enough. Scotty?
This upsets me greatly because I have the exact same picks.
Really?
Yeah. So I am in complete agreement. I think Dennis has to be the favourite. Like I said, I think Sean is an absolute lock for top two. I think Ben is going to be improved. I don't think Ben ever goes backwards. I think he's one of the smartest bodybuilders out there, one of the hardest working bodybuilders out there, and I think he'll beat, you know, Evan Zendapani, who I think is also an excellent bodybuilder, another one who's a lock for conditioning, so you have to somehow squeeze him in your top five. And the only one I sort of debated about, and actually, let's flip-flop it just so I can be different to Mick. I'll take Cedric McMillan in fifth instead of Victor, but he did actually rattle off my top five initially.
So neither of you had Ben Pekulski in there?
Yeah.
Both being third.
Sorry, I was thinking of someone else. But
Ben.
Yeah, so it's basically, yeah, for me, I've got Sean Roden winning and Dennis Wolf in second, so that's my big point of difference. I've also got Ben Pekulski in third. I've got Evan Zendapani in fourth, and in fifth I've got Cedric McMillan. Just because I think Cedric will be comparable maybe to like guys like Evan in terms of size and stuff like that. So I think they'll kind of couple a few of them together, but I can definitely see maybe, like, you know, if Dennis Wolf drops down, then he'll be comparable to Cedric and Evan. So, you know, and then we could see maybe Sean Roden in first and Pekulski in second. But yeah, they're my picks, and I'm going to stand by them. And maybe, like, you know, just outside that, we'll have, like, Branch Warren and Victor Martinez and guys like that. So I'm very excited for that. But, guys, let's head to a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about the 212 Arnold Classic and a few other news stories. Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers. At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Thermoburn Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week, I'm joined by the owner of Mass Nutrition stores around Australia and also Mr. Australia, Luke Mass McNally. Luke, welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio, mate.
Thanks very much, Xavier. Happy Valentine's Day, handsome.
Thank you very much. We're recording this one a little bit before we normally put it up. I understand you and Rhiannon went out for a nice little cheat meal together.
Well, I actually cooked her some pizzas at home, and we ate a little bit of dessert, and now she's driving me to Max Brenner, so we're going to have a little bit more chocolate, and I've probably had a bottle of wine, and I'm half pissed, so let's do it.
Yep, nice. That's awesome. But she's obviously, you know, like 3 weeks out from, you know, the Australian Pro this year, and I interviewed her yesterday, and she's, you know, I kind of mentioned to her she's a top ranking Australian bikini pro, you know, well, bikini girl, full stop. So
yeah,
that's pretty incredible. So she's obviously hoping to retain that, and you're helping her out with the diet and everything. How's that going? You know, helping out, I suppose, your partner.
Look, it's fine. She's just as energetic and bubbly as ever. She gets a little bit hungry now and then, but all in all, like, fairly standard with my athletes. She feels really good, and she's happy, and she's looking incredible, and we're keeping her healthy all the way in, and we wouldn't sacrifice that for anything. So she's going to look lovely on the day. That's the main thing.
Awesome. Now, you do, like, I've been seeing you post stuff through Facebook and all that, and I'm seeing you doing, like, the Poliquin, I suppose, I don't know if you call it the Poliquin system or what would you call it, but I can see, like, when you put up, you know, your breakfast and stuff like that, you have a lot of, like, calories from fats and all that kind of stuff. I mean, how are you able to, I suppose, what's the system in place so you can actually eat more calories? And you're quite lean at the moment, so I look at that and I'm like, a lot of people are probably looking at that saying, okay, how do you do that?
Well, look, there's a couple of things. One is I've got my own system now, which is like the tri-phase system, which is basically keeping diets tri-phasic. So we go through three different stages of diet throughout our prep, as opposed to trying to keep your diet linear and expect fat to come off in a linear progression. It just doesn't happen. Like, everyone knows that, you know, you don't lose those laws of calories of 3,500 per, you know, get a deficit of 3,500 per week and you'll lose a pound of body fat a week or whatever. It just doesn't play out in actual physiology. So what we do is we keep, the diet, we stop the body from adapting to our macronutrient intake or our, especially our insulin sensitivity by manipulating our, specifically our macronutrients through carbohydrates and fats. Protein stays fairly standard across the board, but we manipulate basically nutrient timing, and it prevents an adaptation. So as opposed to having to pull calories all the time, we can make just nutrient adjustments and continue to lose body fat. Ultimately, we're still governed by the laws of thermodynamics, so we can't get away from calories in, calories out, and eventually we need to reduce calories, but certainly not in the drastic manner that most coaches have to do it by just pulling calories and increasing cardio. So we might find that every second week, or depending on the person, the phases change all the time, but we might find that as soon as we change from the first phase of a full ketogenic diet into a carb preload before training, that fat loss continues as opposed to having to stay in the same diet that we're doing and just pull calories. If you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. So, I've kind of almost done something similar at some stages of my diet where I've gone from a higher fat type diet, and then I've switched not switched necessarily the amount of calories I'm having, but switched the types of calories I'm having in terms of fats and carbs, and that's actually, I was surprised it actually worked well.
Well, look, full ketogenic diets, basically pulling all your carbohydrates out at one time will increase insulin sensitivity for a short period of time, because you remove the stimulus of insulin, basically. Well, not all stimulus, because protein creates an insulin response as well, but by removing the other half, by removing carbohydrate fully, you remove the stimulus for insulin on that side of the equation. So your insulin response becomes a lot lower. And by reducing the response to insulin, then you're getting a lot more insulin sensitive across the day. Okay, so, but what we know through research as well is that constant exposure to the cells to ketone bodies produced by a zero carb or low carbohydrate diet will start to increase insulin resistance or decrease insulin sensitivity, because the body will start to the body will become insulin resistant to spare all the glucose that's circulating in the body for the brain, because the brain functions off glucose. So what we'll do is, for very short periods of time, 2 to 3 weeks, we'll bump, pull all carbs out, keep the calories the same, so it's an isocaloric diet, but we'll just pull the carbs out and restore insulin sensitivity as much as we can before it starts to swing the other way, and then we bring them back in to maximize that state of insulin sensitivity as well. So that's sort of like the balancing between the protein and fat and protein and carb fat diets that we do in the tri-phase system.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really like the sound of that. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, and from what I've heard and what people are doing, and it seems like a lot of the guys that are able to eat a bit more food and keep that, keep themselves quite insulin sensitive, it seems like it's working a lot better, and they're able to diet on more calories, and they're able to get really lean. So,
well, the other thing is, like, I refuse to work with someone that's already on low calories. So when you say, people that I'm working with on high calories, it's because if someone comes to me and they're already on 1,500 calories, then I'm not going to work with them in terms of competition prep. I'll work with them to restore their metabolism, but as a, I'm not going to work with them to do a comp prep, because all I can do there is take calories down lower further, and it's just going to, you know, further increase that metabolic adaptation or metabolic damage, as everyone's running around calling it. You know, it's simply an adaptation of the body to caloric, you know, expenditure meeting your caloric intake. So metabolism is just going to slow down further. So whereas my clients will always spend, you know, time in the off season very strategically increasing caloric intake, so that by the time we get around to prepping, their calories are still very high. So, you know, Rhiannon's still on like 1500 calories, 1600 on a training day. And we, obviously we drop it down on a non-training day. We remove her carbs and that a little bit now that as she's getting closer, but you know, 1600 calories is sort of unheard of in this, in the bikini world. They're all running around doing very, very low, you know, very, very low. Sorry, I just got corrected. 1700 calories. So she knows it better than me. So there's, you know, and it's unheard of in the bikini world. Like I said, they're all running around on very, very low carb, very, very low calorie diets, and ending up with nutrient deficiencies, which is causing all sorts of drama. So yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of women running around saying, "Oh, I can't lose weight because I've got adrenal fatigue, or I've got this and that." And you know, adrenal fatigue is one problem that comes with nutrient restriction, but and many other things. It's not only caused by nutrient restriction, but in the case of bodybuilders and stuff, it's fairly common. But you know, nutrient deficiencies in itself can create severe metabolic disadvantages and stuff. So it's something that us at the mass training facility are very careful to monitor.
Definitely. And it seems like through a lot of people, like you got Ben Bukowski out there kind of promoting it. There's a lot of guys that advocate, you know, the high fat breakfast and what it does for insulin sensitivity and stuff like that.
Yeah,
is that what you do year round? Do you always have a high fat breakfast?
Yeah, look, I did. I started doing that about 3 or 4 years ago, back when I first was speaking with Jimmy Cote and Tonus, and then when I actually got working with Charles Poliquin himself, and I was doing it most of the time, and then, you know, on my high carb days, I would have, you know, carbohydrates still in the morning, and then on those days I'd feel like shit. And you know, in the end, like after talking to Charles, even on comp days or even on carb load days or whatever, I never have anything but a meat and nut breakfast, like ever, really. Very, very rarely, unless I'm going out for a pancake breakfast or something like that. But you know, it's pretty much meat and nut all the time. Otherwise, I just find I do suffer. Especially mentally, like in terms of neurotransmitter production and stuff. So,
yeah, exactly the same as me. Now, we talked about obviously all the diet and stuff and things like that. What's your training technique like? Do you train, you know, all out, or like in terms of just heavy basic type stuff, or are you training with like a lot of different techniques, like, you know, maybe like Milos style or Ben Bukowski, where you train with the long negatives and stuff?
My training is, and the training for my clients is fairly, it basically revolves around triphase as well. So during the ketogenic stages, then there's training basically 6 to 8 reps, very, very much strength movements, long rest periods. Obviously, because the body can't keep up with energy supply from ketones like it can when it's producing glycogen or running off glycogen. So yeah, so I mean, during those periods of time, it's all strength. As carbohydrate intake increases a bit, then we can go to more, you know, supersets and a bit and more volume stuff. And then when carbs are even higher, you know, we can utilize giant sets and stuff like that. But it's fairly, you know, we change things around a fair bit. But in terms of progressive overload, I always make sure, no matter what training style we're doing, that there's one movement that remains constant throughout the training that gets recorded and has to be beaten in either reps or weight. So that's basically how we utilize progressive overload into our training. And it's the simplest way, like having a logbook with one lift, a couple of sets, and just making sure it's getting beaten every week.
Yep.
And I find that if that's happening, if people get, you know, and you know, 3 weeks out, you know, people are still beating that same lift, then they've virtually lost zero muscle tissue if they haven't accrued it.
Yeah, I love, like, I actually really like the way you spoke about that, because people don't realize when you do a ketogenic diet, you just don't have that in. Like, I was actually, when I've done a ketogenic diet in the past, I've actually been quite strong. But the endurance just isn't there. You just gas out. Yeah. Like, you get to a point where it's like the reps aren't moving up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You gas out really fast. But strength is incredible. Yeah. Like, you know, Ryan Connolly broke that world bench press record over 1,000 pounds when he was on a ketogenic diet, and it's pretty common. And I certainly find that I'm very, very strong when I'm on ketones. But the endurance does suffer. But I tell you what, that what's that? Patrick Arnold, that, you know, famous sports scientist, he's brought out a product through his brand Prototype Nutrition. It's not available in Australia, but I imported some. It's called Keto Force, and it's basically ketone salts, so pure ketone salts that you drink and instantly flood your body with ketones. It's the first product like it on the market, and it's incredible. Like, you get seriously like the same endurance as if you're on a full carbohydrate diet, but it's basically, yeah, pure ketones to the body, and you have it. I have a dose of it when I'm on a ketone diet. I have a dose of it in the morning and then a dose of it pre-workout, and the actual endurance in the gym is incredible, like even more than if I was using carbohydrates, because it's so much more sustainable.
Really? That's pretty interesting. Like, could you actually take that while you're on a high-carb diet, or how would that work?
You can, and I've done a little bit of reading of Patrick's on it, and they're still, like, working the best, you know, protocols and stuff to use it, but actually endurance athletes and stuff are using it in their, you know, in their drink bottles throughout a race, because it's giving their bodies, you know, constant a source of energy through ketones as opposed to running off glycogen. But ketones are also glycogen sparing, so you can use it to spare the glycogen that you're taking for your training. So and I've done that a little bit myself in the last couple of weeks, where if I'm carb backloading, so if I have all my carbs before bed, I wake up in the morning and I have a dose of ketone in the morning, basically all the carb that I've had the night before, as opposed to getting, you know, burnt for energy and stuff for whatever I'm doing throughout the day before my workout, all my glycogen gets spared and I run off ketone until the time I hit the gym and I've got full glycogen stored through and I'm in full when I train, if you follow what I'm saying. So
it's
pretty cool. It's pretty cool stuff. So it's certainly worth looking into. I'm going to try and look a little bit more into maybe getting it in and be able to get it into the stores and stuff. But at the moment, anyone that's interested can check it out over at Prototype Nutrition. They're in the States.
I was going to say, you have to look at importing that for mass nutrition stores, because
as soon as
that catches on, that's going to be a popular one. Like, you know, like ATPs like Prototype 7 and things like that. I mean, that's gone crazy. I mean, I remember... I think Matt, I don't know if Matt was telling me that if it was you or someone else that used Prototype 7 and then you went in an infrared sauna or something. And it like
that was his, Matt's got another product called Dragon's Breath.
Oh yeah. I used that today.
Yeah, it's great. It's a pain, it's sort of like a pain relief cream, but it's got a lot of Australian native ingredients and stuff in it. Like, and it works really well. I'm sure you probably found, but if you've got, I can get a bit of a niggling knee, and I always put it on my knees before I put my compressions on and go and train legs, and I feel, you know, a million times better. But yeah, I got in, I forgot all about it. I put it on in the morning and got in this infrared sauna literally 10 hours later, and I was in the sauna with Rhiannon and I'm just going, man, my knee feels hot. Like, and it just got worse and worse, and it was like on fire. So I don't know why or what happened, but I guess, like, you know, the infrared sauna sort of, you know, stimulates, it can sort of do the same thing as like ultrasound and push strings through the skin. So I guess it might have just pushed it locally into the knee, and then my knee like blew right up. But I tell you, the next day it felt awesome. So I reckon it probably just pushed a whole heap of blood and fluid and nutrient into the knee joint. I don't know. That's just a guess, but it felt horrible at the time. But the next day it felt, you know, smooth as glass.
That's crazy.
Don't anyone go and do it. But I'm just saying, like, that was my experience with it. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend. It doesn't feel good.
I used it yesterday actually on legs for the first time. I used it today. I got a bit of bicep tendonitis, so I used it on my bicep today. Yeah. And yesterday when I used it on my knees for squatting, I normally get, you know, a little bit of knee pain at the start of a workout or when I'm squatting heavy or I'm doing hack squats with different techniques. So I like to do hack squats with my legs together every now and then. And that normally hurts my knees a bit. And I did it yesterday and I had no knee pain whatsoever, but I did find my knees were, like, when I did a set and as soon as I finished a set, my knees felt quite hot, but then they cooled down a bit, do a set, they'd be quite hot, but I put a decent amount on, so I don't know, it's because of that I put on, but I mean, like, all you do, all you feel is, like, that heat, but you don't feel any, I didn't feel any negative pain, any, like, you know, any joint pain or anything like that, so it's a pretty amazing product.
Yeah, look, everything Matty does is pretty good. He's a bit of a genius. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he's pretty good with all that stuff. And talking to him as well, like, since I've tried Prototype 7, I've tried this Dragon's Breath, and I've got his blocker and subcut at the moment, so I'm sure they're going to work because the other two have worked absolutely awesome. So,
yeah, the blocker and subcut are staples for Rhiannon and I as well, at least, you know, the subcut once in the morning before you go for a little bit of a cardio stroll, and then the blocker before bed. For me, on the lower back, because that's fairly standard for a male bodybuilder, but that's where I sort of hold my last bits, and Rhiannon's up under the glutes and the hemis. So, yeah, no, it works well. They're good products.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm the same as you. I've got that lower back kind of issue at the moment where I'm just trying to get that last bit off. But now, let's talk a little bit. We talk about it every time you're on the show. You've got clients coming up for FitX. Obviously, that's only, you know, 3 weeks away now. What clients do you have doing that show, and what clients do you have doing any other shows, like maybe international shows or something?
Well, look, I just kept myself pretty quiet this season. We've just been so busy with Mass and the gym, and I'm working on having a couple of really, really good trainers under me that, you know, teach all my principles and the tri-phase system to clients, because I just don't have time to work with people, and that's what I love doing, but I sort of got to step away from it a little bit just because of the Mass, you know, the stores and stuff, you know, facilitating 40 stores. It's pretty hectic. So although I'd love to sit down and do one-on-ones with everyone all the time, I just can't. But I'd love to be able to continue on, you know, the sort of legacy and the stuff of the thousands of hours of research and stuff that I've spent on, you know, physique manipulation or body composition stuff. So, yeah, I'm working on, you know, on having a few trainers that teach it all. And then I'm sort of swinging the clients onto them. And I mean, Chris Thomas, when we first went into business, we I was getting, you know, a ton of inquiries and sent them all to him. And, you know, he's taken them all on for FitX. So I know he's got a ton for his crew heading down to FitX, and I've pretty much just sat back and done Rhiannon, and I've been dieting myself, and obviously MJ, and that's about it, mate. Like, things have just been fairly cruisy for me in terms of the comp prep stuff, which has been nice. It's a little bit less stressful, but obviously Rhiannon's my priority, and I'd love to see MJ get up there and get her pro card, so we've been working, you know, really hard with her as well.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, I mean, it's awesome this year because obviously 6 pro cards are being given away. Now, do you have any predictions in terms of who you think is going to win the... I mean, most of the guys are talking about the 212 and the open men. So who's your predictions for both of those classes?
212, I'll be there cheering for Gretchy, but I think Gary Wright's probably going to edge him out. I saw a bit of a picture of him the other day, and he looks pretty deadly gnarly. So as long as he doesn't mess it up, like, you know, whatever they did last year where he dropped, you know, all his weight. But from what I can see and what I've been told, he's up around 98 kilos, and I certainly wouldn't doubt it after what I've seen. So, you know, given that he's only got a couple of kilos to come off, and from what I saw, there's not a lot of places for it to come off, so he's going to scrape in under there. And, you know, the guy's 5'5" or 4 or whatever. He's going to be thick and dense and all that sort of stuff. So I think he'll, you know, if he comes in, the way, you know, I've only seen pics, and, you know, who knows, out of pictures, like, people can make themselves look pretty crazy, but
yeah,
from what I've seen, and he's going to be, you know, pretty hard to beat. But I don't know, Gretchy will bring a good package. I've seen him a couple of times and saw him the other day, so I'll be there cheering him on, obviously, as a Mass boy. And who else have we got in there? Cutler, is he doing it?
Yeah, I believe David Cutler. He's told me he wanted to do the 212. He said whether he'll make it or not, but I'm pretty sure from the sounds that he's going to be doing the 212. So he's going to be another one that's going to be definitely right up there, and he's super consistent. So and then you've also got Adam Browner as well.
Yeah, no, that's true. And Browner's a bit of a Dorian Yates. He's sort of just, you know, he's a bit of a shadow. No one really knows what's going on under all his kit. So he could well and truly come out and be super freak. I know he's been in ridiculous condition before and he's packed on a ton of weight. So, and, you know, as for Cutler, I don't know, I sort of overlooked him last year. Like, he wasn't, for me, he wasn't, for me, I had him behind Goble, I had him behind Logan. So, you know, I'm probably the wrong person to ask, I guess, but, once he was standing there next to Shembri running around, I was going, okay, yeah, this guy's, you know, pretty good. Obviously, I think Shembri well and truly gave him a good one, but I think, you know, if his weight's up there and he's, you know, scraping under, then I don't, but he's, you know, still, he's a lot taller. So you've got Gary Wright that's 5 inches shorter than all of these guys with as much weight. So,
yeah,
you know, if anyone's really a 212 contender, it's guys like him and probably Greshy as well, because Greshy's, you know, not quite as short, but he's certainly shorter than Cutler. I know that. Yeah, so I don't know. I'd like to say Gary. I'd like to say Greshy, but I think Gary, then Greshy, and then probably Cutler. That'll be my prediction. And in the open, I just, I've only got eyes for Scott Goble, mate.
He'll love that.
He will. No, he's, the guy's work ethic is awesome and he's a good friend. And yeah, I'll be there cheering him on. I can't wait to see him. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, he's
certainly my prediction. Like, everyone sort of goes on about Josh and whatever. And, you know, the guy is impressive, but I think he's still got a few years before he fills in some of his weak points. Like, the guy's big, don't get me wrong, and he's, you know, if he comes in hard and whatever, the guy does look like a pro, but I think that there's some flaws in him that will be shown a lot more when he stands next to Scott, because Scott's really paid his dues in the past, you know, 10 years, and he's fine. Like, he's a big man, you know, and he's finally filled that frame out in the last sort of 2 years. Like last year, and then even more so this year, and I know he's working hard on, you know, condition. So his if he's as conditioned as I think he's going to be, I think he's going to be awesome. So he's certainly my prediction, and I really hope he gets it.
I think we're going to see a bigger and a more conditioned Scott Goble this year.
Yeah, I agree.
His workload's down a little bit in terms of what he's doing outside of training and stuff like that. And he's
tell me about it. The guy does nothing. I can hardly get a text message back off him.
He's he put up a photo today actually on Facebook, and I saw that. And like, Scott normally isn't the guy that looks the best in the gym. He normally comes alive on stage.
Yes.
And I saw in the gym his arms look bigger, and I was like, wait, I've never really seen Scott's arms look bigger just in a tank top, even close to a show. And I was like, wait a second, that's impressive. And so based off that photo, I'm picking him as well.
It's going to be whatever happens. This show is certainly going to be a good one.
Definitely. Now, Arnold Classic, that's coming up very, very shortly, a week prior to FedEx. Do you have any picks for that? Because, you know, there's so many guys. Like, I went over to Tony Doherty today, and there's literally probably seven. We counted seven guys that we said legitimately have a chance from, you know, you've got Evan Sedapani, you've got Rolly Bickley, you've got Flex Roden, you've got Dennis Wolf. There's so many guys. Do you have any predictions?
I really want to see the great White Hope come forward and, you know, Dennis Wolf really have a big crack again. I'm the same, man. Like, it's hard to pick, but I'd like to see, I'd like to see the reign of another big white unit, you know, not being racist or anything, but, you know, these black fellas, the genetics just, you know, they can always just come on and give us a hiding. So I'd like to see, you know, I'd really like to see Evan or Dennis Wolf step up. I think Sean Roden's going to be deadly as well, but I don't know. Put it this way, it's not something that I'd want to bet my house on. Either way, it'd be a crazy show to go to.
And you've got guys like Pekulski and...
exactly, yeah.
And also, who's the other dude I'm thinking of? Pekulski, and you've got like Cedric McMillan as well, who's like, I saw some photos of his hamstrings the other day, and he's looking pretty well dialed in by these photos anyway, but... it's going to be very, very interesting who's at the top of it. And I think people forget, like, a lot of people are writing Evan off, but Evan was third in the Arnold Classic with Dennis Wolf and Branch Warren just 2 years ago, and it was such a close top three. And I even thought, to be honest, I thought Evan was better than Branch, who won. So
Evan's just going to work out what he's doing in the last few days, because he's another Dennis James who looks, or even Luke Wood, you know, back in the day, he looks incredible, you know, weeks and days out, and then just looks flat and on stage. So,
yeah, I think he's just got to come in obviously full and not. I think in the past he's said he's over dieted and stuff like that, so hopefully he can figure that out and not do that this time around.
Yeah, Dennis Wolf was the same. Like he came in flat or full for many, many years, but he sort of nailed it in the last couple. So
yeah, but hopefully there was a show post Olympia where Dennis Wolf slipped up though, and
that's true.
Placing or so. I'm not ready to commit to Dennis Wolf unless he just nails it again like the Olympia. So,
and I don't want to. I'm not going to write off Pekulski either. I like that. And plus, he's a really nice guy. Like he's a champion. So I'd love to see him come in and have a good crack too. Like he's got things pretty well down pat.
Yeah,
as we saw last year at the pro show.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited to see what he looks like, because we haven't seen him on stage for a while, and he's one of a few guys that bypassed the Olympia as well. So it's going to be exciting.
I reckon he'd have to be the most improved bodybuilder over the last 24 months. Like if you look from when I saw him maybe 3 or 4 years ago, whenever he did that pro show in Australia and he was a set of calves, to what he is now, like the upper body improvements. I mean, he's always had big legs and they've just gotten bigger, but the upper body improvements through the back and everything is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But moving on, let's talk a little bit about Mass Nutrition. You've been, you said do you have 40 stores around Australia and New Zealand?
We do, mate. Yeah, that's where we're sitting. And we sort of had to slow up. I put the brakes on a little bit towards the end of last year and the start of this year, just because we couldn't keep up with supply of stock. And I started to burn out quite a bit last year. And then I put on a national manager, and that was the best thing I ever did. The guy's incredible. Ash McGaddis, he's just awesome, man. So he's taken so much of the workload off me, and he does a lot of the running around and dealing with the stores. And, I'm left to sort of the bigger jobs and not worry about the little stuff from day to day. So we're now ready to have another really big push. And I can't give it away too much, but there's a couple of international areas that we're looking at that'll be pretty exciting. So they should certainly come to fruition in 2014 and 2015. So that's not to say we're not still concentrating on Australia. We should be at 50 stores by the end of the year. We've got 3 in the making at the moment, but things are flat out at Mass headquarters, that's for sure.
Yep. Now you've obviously got I saw the Mass Nutrition camp that has I believe it's yourself, Luke Shembri and Scotty Goble, and is that in a week or 2 weeks? Or
mate, we've got one in Adelaide in a couple of weeks, the week before FitX, that's a bit of payback to Scotty, because I did one the day before my Australian title last time. So he's got one a week out, so I'm going to make him suffer. I'm going to give him the hard questions and make his brain work and see how he goes. Might even try and film it, because he got a good one on Shembri once when Shembri fell apart trying to answer some questions. It was pretty funny. So Shembri and I are going to get on either side of him and give him a good going over. Then we're heading to Townsville. We're heading down to Albury. And we're down in Melbourne with Scotty's home crew. So, yeah, we've got the four in place at the moment. And, mate, then I've actually booked a little holiday, so I'm going to have 2 weeks away where, well-deserved, because I haven't had a break in a long time. So,
yeah,
no plans after that.
Yeah, it's a good idea, because obviously you can just – obviously people burn out, physically and stuff from training and that, but burning out mentally is probably just as bad, because when you got your own business and stuff, it's pretty easy to work, almost just about 24/7.
Yeah, I'll get adrenal fatigue.
Now, coming to the end of the interview, is there any more shout-outs you want to give, or do you want to plug anything else?
Mate, I'm good. I won't talk to you before the big event, so best of luck over at FitX, and best of luck to everyone competing out there in Australia, and make sure that you come and say hello as we're floating around the exhibition. We'll have a booth there right in front of the main stage, so it's a great place to come and hang out and have a chat and watch what's going on. So I look forward to catching up with everyone. So best of luck to everyone competing.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. And I encourage everyone to stop by the Mass Nutrition booth on the weekend. And I'm sure we'll be at your booth interviewing Scotty and a fair few other people as well as they come past. So, Luke, thanks once again for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio. That's Luke McNally, Mr. Australia and owner of Mass Nutrition.
Thermobar and Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and 3-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip. Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week I'm joined by Optimum Nutrition sponsored athlete and 2014 Men's Physique Pro Qualifier competitor. I'm pleased to welcome Joe Pitt to Aussie Muscle Radio. Mate, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Xavier. Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. Now, let's get into a bit of history about yourself, because you're doing this pro qualifier at FedEx, which is going to be just an absolutely insanely massive show. It's going to be pretty hotly contested in all the pro qualifying divisions. But let's go back to how you kind of got into it. Now, you, like, growing up, you know, through your teenage years, through, you know, even your adult life and stuff, you've played rugby league and you played internationally as well. I mean, how did, like, was that a natural transition from rugby just to getting in the gym and sort of staying in the gym, I guess?
Yeah, look, I've always obviously with football, been in the gym doing weights, and probably actually towards the end of my career, I just, you know, that's probably where I enjoy actually playing more, is the training aspect. And it was a bit of a natural progression, you know, like a lot of the big strong movements, carry over into what you do now with your squats and bench and leg press, deadlifts type things. So it's always been, you know, an interest of mine, and definitely pushed me towards it once I finished playing football.
Yeah. Now, you told me before you did the Queensland Cup, which I've got to plead a bit of ignorance here, because I'm a Tassie boy, and I'm over in WA, so I'm surrounded by AFL. What kind of level is that, like, in terms of, like, rugby? Is it professional or is it semi-professional?
Yeah, semi-professional. Lots of the NRL players these days, if they're not playing NRL, they'll drop back and they'll play in the Queensland Cup or the New South Wales Cup. So the level is really high. You see NRL players come back through those grades now, just because the quality is so strong.
Yeah, for sure. So it's almost like a reserves type NRL.
Most definitely, yeah.
Awesome. So you played internationally as well. So what was that like, traveling and stuff internationally to compete in the sport you played in?
Yeah, look, it was great. I played at the Sheffield Eagles in England, and they had been in the Super League before as well, so similar type of setup. But the fans over there are a little bit crazier. They love to sing and chant. And, after the game, they'll be happy to give you a critique on how you went. So, they were great. I enjoyed my time over there, even cold. Just a really eye-opening experience, mate. Any travel is, I guess. But
yeah, definitely. How long was your there playing? Like, and what was the, I suppose, like the club culture like? Was it very, like, was it similar to back here? Like, very kind of, like, almost like blokey or whatever?
Yeah, very, very much so. I went over there by myself. There's a few Aussies in the team, but straight away you've got 30 mates, and to be honest, rugby league sometimes has that really strong drinking culture, and it was no different over there. So
yeah, definitely. Now, how did that transition go? Like, how did that happen? How did you go from rugby to now being a guy that's going to be competing in the Men's Physique Pro Qualifier?
Basically, it's come about through injury, I would say, to be honest. When I was 17, I had a knee reconstruction and crushed the cartilage in my knee. So I had an operation and I continued to play football, and then I had to retire early because the wear and tear on my joints, and I had some loose cartilage floating around in my knee. So I went and had an operation and cleaned that out, and from there basically I was 100 kilos and fit, but not really able to do much running anymore. So I had to look at options, what I could do to stay in shape, because a lot of footballers, once they finish, they just stop and they blow out. I didn't want to do that, so a friend of mine gave me a food plan, and basically it all went from there. Like, I started getting into my food and understanding about that, and went from 100 kilos down to about 84, really stripped myself back, and then just started again and really worked on the mechanics of my body to bring it in. My focus was purely self-interest at the time and trying to get myself up to be, I didn't want to be a bodybuilder in such. I was just really after, you know, a strong physique. And, you know, I guess in the end, when I did come about to compete, like, you know, the men's physique division is probably perfect for me. Like, I just have a long torso and broader shoulders and, you know, so it's almost, the division's almost made for someone like myself.
Yeah, definitely. Now, this prep has not been without a big challenge. You said 8 weeks out, you actually had to have a knee operation, which is pretty crazy. That was only, you know, 6 or so weeks ago now, not 5.5 weeks ago now. I mean, I've got to imagine that's affected your prep quite a bit. I mean, how much has it affected your prep, and do you feel that it's going to negatively affect you, I guess?
Look, you know, one of those things, like, I guess my injury flared up and I had a piece of cartilage come out. It actually locked my knee out. So I was lucky enough to get in and get the surgery done quickly, but obviously my thoughts went straight to the competition and whether or not I was going to have to withdraw. And once I'd seen the doctor probably a day later and was able to get in, I just set my mind to it that I was going to be able to get back to this competition. I think that's just probably, you know, one of those things that, you know, really drives me. I was a little bit dirty that I didn't do a little bit better at some of the other competitions, and so that's been a real driving force. But yeah, look, after the operation, I was holding on to a water. Obviously, my body was stressed. You know, I couldn't do the cardio to get it off. But in saying that, I had the operation and was back in the gym actually the next day, working what I could. 10 days later, I was back doing weighted squats. You know, I'm back up to, you know, almost set for 180 now. So look, it's not something that I'll be using for an excuse, and I think that I've prepared well enough. I feel like I'm actually in better shape now than I was preparing for my last two competitions, funnily enough. But yeah, look, it's just one of those things, and I've, you know, set my mind that I needed to overcome it, and I'll be confident that I'll be more than competitive on the day. I'm feeling really positive, so.
I was actually going to ask you if you're actually back to training legs at all, and I was going to say it's probably fortunate that you're doing physique and you at least get a bit of coverage there, but that's crazy that you're back to squatting, you know, around 180 on squats. And I mean, like, I don't even squat that myself. I've never been up to that weight myself, so. And I've got you know, somewhat reasonably healthy knees, so that's absolutely crazy, mate. And it's a credit to, you know, how dedicated you are, and to, like you said, when you have that injury, that you thought about the competition straight away. And I think that's how, you know, a lot of successful people in the sport and stuff are, and a lot of people probably in general are in this sport. But, you know, as soon as they get sick or whatever, they don't feel sorry for themselves. They just think about the competition or missing training or anything like that. So that's a real credit to you. But obviously this pro qualifier is coming up. It's not far away at all now. Are you at all nervous about this comp? Because you're up against some pretty big names.
Oh, look, you know, there's some really quality guys in this division. I think there's some coming from overseas in New Zealand as well, the champ from over there. But the pressure's not on me. It's on the favourites. And, you know, I guess we've got James Cant heading over to Arnold, who's looking in absolutely amazing form, and Anthony Ruffus, he's obviously the carryover Australian champion. So, you know, for mine, the pressure's on them. I just need to come in and prepare the best I can. You know, although I've had the injuries, I've sort of purposely kept this prep a little bit more undercover in terms of how my body's tracking. I'm looking to bring a whole different show package to this competition, and I think that you know, I can bring in a bit of a wow factor from my last show.
Yep. Do you believe that, like, the physique you have now can actually knock off those top guys, those favourites? Do you feel like perhaps, you know, not having the pressure on you will kind of be in your favour?
Look, you know, it's really in the judges' hands, you know, obviously, but I'm confident. You know, I think even from my last show in October, and even with these injuries, I've been able to probably improve on my physique quite significantly. Like, you know, I guess going into the last show, I wasn't 100% sure what men physique was looking for in Australia. You know, I've got a much better understanding now. You know, I've had some chats with Nathan Page, who's pushing hard here, and I know Tony Doherty is a big supporter of it as well. But yeah, look, I think that I can bring a good package, and I just can't worry about what the other guys are doing. You know, they're doing the same thing, so.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the best way to go about it. And I think we've got some, you know, with yourself and, you know, Anthony Rufus and James Cant, and there's a few other guys as well, we've got some really good names at the top of that division that are going to be good representatives for the division now and in the future as well. So I think that's exciting that we do have those names that are getting out there now, and it's, yeah, it's exciting. But what do you think about the men's physique in terms of what we're looking for now on an international level? Because we had our first men's physique Olympia. We had Mark Anthony win that. What did you think about the kind of criteria that's being set?
Look, you know, it's hard. You know, I think, you know, you look at someone like Sadiq, who had a totally different shape to Mark Anthony, who won. You know, Steve Cook, who's another optimum nutrition guy, like, you know, he didn't place, which, you know, he was, again, another huge favourite. And, you know, and I think basically they're looking for that, you know, I call it almost the beach body look, you know, it's really broad shoulders and a tiny waist and a big full chest, so, you know, and you need to be really dry and land through that midsection. So, I mean, on the day, you know, you're picking at hairs, like these guys almost look identical up there, so, you know, it's hard, and I'm basing myself on what those Americans look like, because I think, you know, if we want to compete with them as Australians, and I think we're not far off it, that's where we need to set the bar.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very smart, because, you know, people have said if you can't, you know, if you're nowhere near competing against those guys, then there's almost no point in turning pro, you know what I mean? Like, if you can't compete at the pro level, and what's the point of actually getting a pro card? So I think we're definitely, whoever does turn pro, whether it's yourself or if it's someone else in the division, will have a guy that can genuinely compete as IFBB physique pro. So the next question is, if you do turn pro, like just say everything goes perfect, you get your pro card, would you plan on, you know, going to the US, competing and getting your name out there internationally?
For sure. I mean, that's the goal for everyone. The goal is, you know, I think, anyone that competes, you know, to get to Olympia. I know that's a big statement, but if you don't set a goal and sort of have a mark to try and achieve, then, you know, you're not going to have a chance. But yeah, look, I'm very keen. I think my sponsor is Optimum Nutrition. You know, they're obviously really big in the States, and they're huge supporters of everything that I've done. So, you know, I'm sure they would be really helpful in trying to get me in and achieve that type of goal and be one of Australia's first pros. So.
Yeah, definitely, that'd be absolutely awesome. And I imagine obviously having a sponsor like Optimum as well would help out with, you know, you competing internationally. So I've got to imagine having them in your corner is a massive reassurance.
Yeah, look, they've been amazing. You know, I was lucky enough to be picked up before I competed. I think just they saw what, you know, I was capable of in the future, and they've been fantastic to me. Such a great brand, and I'm really lucky. I actually used them before I was sponsored by them, so, you know, it was sort of a dream come true for me. I sort of pinch myself each week, but yeah, look, they're definitely very supportive and keen for me to achieve, so.
So how did they let you know how they noticed you? Like, was it just through Facebook? Was it through other medium sources? Like, how did they actually find you out there?
At the time, I just sort of come onto the scene, I guess, and through a clothing brand, FKN. And, you know, he'd been giving me some, you know, we'd been doing some work and putting myself out there. And it was basically around Phylex last year, and I just got an email from a member from Optimum and asked me to put forward some details, because, you know, they believed I was the right fit for them. And yeah, look, it just rolled on from there, and we sort of haven't looked back.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's like, I mean, not many people actually get that opportunity where they get an offer sent through to their email just after competing once or twice. So That's obviously, you know, I wouldn't say you're lucky, because it seems that most people that that get all the luck, they kind of create their own luck. So that's what I always believe anyway.
Yeah, look, definitely been working hard, and look, the goal is to repay them, right? So yeah, very, I would say, you know, a certain amount of hard work, but there's an element of luck there, and very appreciative of it.
Of course. Now, you mentioned before about the posing. Is this something that you've kind of practiced a lot of? Because you see a lot of guys, you know, in bodybuilding and women in bodybuilding and stuff like that, that don't have the posing down right. And especially in men's physique, it seems like that's an even more important aspect than it is in some of these other classes. Is that something you practice a lot, or is it something you've got lessons on, or what are you doing with that?
Yeah, look, it's really hard because there's not a lot of people who currently do the posing. So I've done a lot of study, and from my first shows, I learnt a lot. But it's really about having a strong stage presence. So you've got to be out there and really on and show, you know, your personality to an extent. People like Nathan Page, again, down in Sydney, you know, he's helping out, Anthony Ruffus, and I think James mentioned that he had some help from Nathan as well, but I've really self-taught, and, you know, it's just from studying, but, you know, it still just comes through hours of practice and, look, a lot of hard work, and, you know, I guess that's something that, you know, once these competitions are over, I'll be trying to, you know, I guess, impart that knowledge on some of the guys up here, because it's an up-and-coming division, so...
Yeah, that's great. Now, this is kind of a tough question, and it might be a subjective question. It might be a question that's a bit controversial almost. But if you had to pick someone, like, who's your biggest competition, or who, you know, if you weren't in the lineup, who do you think would win the Physique Pro Qualifier?
Oh, it is a tough one. Look, you know, I think I said before, it can really go any way here. Like, it's who's going to come in probably the lean and lean through the abs. Like, everyone's really built through their shoulders and chest and really well developed. So, you know, Anthony's got, you know, the front running. He's the current champ, so everyone's chasing him, you know. You know, James, he's coming back from Arnold a week before, so, look, his confidence is going to be through the roof, just from having that experience of being on the world stage. You know, I think that, you know, that's going to make him a real threat. You know, I can't forget Scott Porter, who's heading over there as well. He was absolutely shredded to bits at the Nationals. And, you know, he's only had time to improve as well. And there's a guy coming from New Zealand who's, you know, fantastic as well. You know, and young Joey Willis from over in Perth, he's a strong contender as well. Look, you know, Anthony would be the front runner, I would say. But look, everyone's close at his heels.
Yeah, definitely. And it's going to be exciting. I mean, like you said, there seems to be like favourites in some of these divisions, or in most of these divisions, there's, you know, a favourite one or two or whatever. But when it comes down to it, it's what, you know, it's what you look like on the day as to what will actually happen. And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if these favourites and stuff get knocked off on the day, because, you know, that always makes things exciting as well. But, Joe, I want to thank you for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio. You've been a great guest. Now, do you have sponsors out there you want to thank? Obviously, Optimum Nutrition and FKN.
Optimum Nutrition. I've actually just changed gym sponsors. My clothing brand, I'm now with Gym Locker. It's an up-and-coming brand. But, yeah, they're a great brand as well. We'll move forward with them. Also, I just want to give a shout-out to Elite Body Maintenance. They do all my remedial stuff here. Without them, my body would break down, obviously, with the operations that I've had. So a big shout-out to them.
Excellent, Joe. Thanks so much for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio. That's Joe Pitt. Will he be a pro in 2014? We'll have to wait and see till FitX in just 2 weeks' time. Joe, thanks for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio.
Thanks, Xavier.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Thermal Burn Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com. Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined now by Matt Legg, the Chief Scientist at ATP Science. Now, Matt, we're here for another 2 minutes with a scientist segment, and this week we're going to be talking about digestive enzymes.
Cool. Now, there's a few out there, and now basically, why are digestive enzymes important? Like, what's the role they play?
Well, as you know, our gut release digestive enzymes to break down our macro and absorb them. So that's the common sense sort of thing. If you're eating excessive amounts of protein or trying to increase the amount of protein your body can break down and absorb, then combining that protein or supplementing with some extra supplements like betaine hydrochloride, or in combination with pepsins and those sort of things, that proteases, that will actually help to break down the protein, will allow you to absorb more of it, so it's not just passing straight through. Same deal with the carbohydrates. You've got the ability to use certain enzymes there to break down the carbohydrates and enhance the absorption of them, so they've got less time to sit in the gut and ferment. There's a lot of really cool research coming out on digestive enzymes for the purpose of using them not for digestion of your food, but to actually taking them away from meals to get into your bloodstream to actually go around and digesting protein structures throughout your body. And people are actually using certain digestive enzymes now to actually break down bruising, support injury management, and help to break down any scar tissue systemically. There's also some really cool research coming from out of America at the moment with certain enzymes that are capable of crossing the blood-brain barrier and helping to break down these things, these compounds that come from gluten and casein and everything that can get into our brain and influence our learning and behavior and everything. So the role of enzymes is just expanding dramatically.
Yeah, and that's interesting too, because like for a lot of people out there that don't know, not much crosses the blood-brain barrier that you can take orally at all. So
yeah,
that's a really interesting one. I mean, one of a few supplements is like melatonin that comes to mind that can actually cross that blood-brain barrier. But I mean, with digestive enzymes, you said it helps obviously with digestion and stuff with proteins and stuff like that.
Yep.
Does this have much of an effect on muscle hypertrophy, like maybe like this, much in the same way that perhaps fiber does?
These enzymes won't actually break down muscle tissue or anything. By anything that controls inflammation, anything that helps to reduce the catabolic factors within your body, especially inflammation, is definitely going to help with your muscle growth.
Yeah.
So the ends, and there's simple things too, like if you're not breaking down your foods properly and your gut wall's a little bit permeable, these large structures are entering your body. They're triggering immune reaction. So you can imagine, you know, you're taking your protein because we want amino acids for muscle. But if your body's not breaking down these protein into the amino acids and is actually absorbing or reacting to a long protein chain, your immune system can't afford to wait to see if that is a bacteria, an allergen, a poison, a foreign body. It has to react. So what actually happens is if you're not breaking down your food properly, your immune system is actually treating it like an infection and either flushing it away with an allergic inflammation or trying to engulf and remove it with an antimicrobial sort of attack. So all of those things triggering stress, they're triggering inflammation, they're triggering catabolic hormonal cascade, as opposed to eating food, absorbing the nutrients and putting them into muscle.
So yeah, that's...
So the enzymes, more than anything, the enzymes are controlling, taking the burden off the immune system and taking the burden off the digestive process to allow you to get the most out of your macro and micronutrients.
And this would obviously help with, you know, like avoiding getting sick and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of research on certain enzymes like bromelains, and that sort of thing that are actually becoming very powerful anti-inflammatories, reducing diarrhea. Actually, there's a lot of research where they use bromelain in animals to increase muscle growth.
Okay.
And the funny thing is that it doesn't do anything directly to stimulate muscle growth. All it does is it stops the animals from getting diarrhea and losing muscle. So they're actually finding they're incorporating it into foods for anabolic properties. There's a whole heap of enzymes they're doing that for. There's quercetin, a lot of the bioflavonoids they're putting over. So,
yep.
Papain, out of the pawpaw and everything as well. So,
yep. So, obviously, people are going to hear this and people are going to go, okay, well, I want to, you know, try some digestive enzymes and stuff like that. What's, I mean, is there a product that you know of that combines a lot of these digestive enzymes, or do you recommend just, you know, one or two or three of these enzymes?
It actually depends on the individual. So, basically, with you looking at digestive enzymes, the ones that work in your stomach, that contain the betaine hydrochloride, along with a lot of other digestion enzymes for protein. I can't remember the name of the product though, but you're looking for betaine hydrochloride and pepsin and proteases. They'll actually work mainly in the stomach to break down your protein. If you don't have enough stomach acid, you typically fill up quickly, you get a lot of bloating, distension, fullness, and it usually occurs immediately after meals. The next lot of enzymes, digestive enzymes you get are pancreatic enzymes. They'll often contain actually pancreatic tissue and that sort of stuff in it. The pancreatic enzymes, they work after about half an hour to an hour after eating. So if you need them, you usually know, because you don't get bloated or full immediately after eating, but an hour or so later or in the middle of nowhere, you can be getting a lot of gurgling and a lot of fermentation from your carbohydrates. So what you'll find is some people need one, some people need the other, some people need both. It's a little bit tricky, but you can go by your symptoms. And of course, if you're just constantly suffering from acid reflux and stomach acid, you wouldn't touch anything that contains betaine hydrochloride.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned obviously about, you know, the digestion type thing. Like my dad actually has, I believe he has IBS, and I know a few other people would have a few issues like that. So obviously some of these digestive enzymes would help those people as well.
Yeah. They break down the food. See, what happens with IBS is mucus coating through your gut gets in the way of the enzymes from breaking down the food, and the bacteria get there first. And once the bacteria and fungi and that sort of microbes get to the food, they ferment it. And instead of converting it into nice, healthy nutrients, they're making it into toxins that trigger an immune reaction. So the key is to treat things like irritable bowel or inflammatory bowel diseases, use enzymes to break down your food properly, provide good healthy bacteria that are actually breaking down that food and converting it to healthy nutrients instead of catabolic waste, and then also just changing around those foods a little bit to avoid the ones that are the most likely to ferment.
Yeah, for sure. Excellent info there, Matt. Another great segment of 2 Minutes with a Scientist. You'll be back in another few weeks, and I encourage everyone out there to go to the ATP website. It's atpscience.com. Check out all their products, and you can see all the athletes and stuff on there as well. And also like them and follow them on Instagram and Facebook. You can find one there. So thank you, Matt, once again for another great 2 Minutes with a Scientist segment. Everyone else, stay tuned for me and Michael Galley wrapping up the show.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets, or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Thermal Burn Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com. Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. We had great interviews there. I just want to mention, obviously, that Luke Minnelli is actually working with Mike Debenham as well. He wanted me to mention that and say that, you know, his progress is going really well. And I saw some photos of IFBB Pro Mike Debenham go up, actually, I think it was this morning or yesterday, and he's looking actually like he's really brought his condition in lately. So, guys, I want to mention we're going to be doing the 212 Pro Qualifier. Not for 212 Pro Qualifier. We're doing the 212 Arnold Classic preview now, and we're going to go through this one a little bit quicker because there's, you know, mostly the top names are the top names in there, and I don't think a winner's going to come from outside that. We'll start off Aaron Clark. He's a guy that did, you know, he turned pro last year, the year before, and he did the Arnold Classic, the New York Pro last year, and I think he placed around, you know, third or fourth, and some people saying he could win it, and I think in, you know, being realistic, but that wasn't going to happen. Scotty, do you rate Aaron Clark, and do you think he can surprise some people?
Yeah, I do rate him. I've got him up there. I think he fell in behind Jose and Samuel Haddad or someone like that. So he lost to some pretty awesome guys, and they were both on the money. So, yeah, Aaron Clark's a young dude with a lot of potential. He's still, I think he had a little room to grow at the New York Pro. So, yeah, he's going to be good. He's looked incredibly hard from 8, 10, 12 weeks out. So he'll be on the money. Again, this is another deep lineup, so it's not going to be easy for him, but I've definitely got him pushing for one of the top spots.
Yep, definitely. Dave Henry, Mick, he's obviously, you know, he's going to be the challenger, the main challenger anyway, to James Flex Lewis. Does he have a shot at it?
Oh, mate, I'm a massive fan of Dave. I always have been. He always brings that really... His conditioning and hardness is actually better than Flex's. I can't see him topping Flex, so I can't see Dave bringing a better package than what he did at the Olympia, whereas I can see Flex bringing a better package. So that's going to be the difference there. But I'd like to see it. Like I said, big fan, but it's not going to happen.
Scotty, can you see it happening?
No, I can't see it happening. I don't like to harp on the fact that me and Mick Sorrell, both these guys, are the 2012 Mr. Olympia, and then later on stage at the Mr. Olympia, so we've got the experience of viewing them with our own eyes, because it becomes a little obnoxious when you constantly talk about how awesome it was being over there at the Olympia.
This is brutal.
It was an amazing experience. And the clarity and insight that it gives you, that it just can't give you at home when you're living on the internet. But when you see the two come out by themselves, you think, man, this is going to be close. Henry's just got some wicked details and crazy body parts and poses. When you put them next to each other, you just go, Flex has got this easy. So, no. He can't beat Flex Lewis. Flex will be on, and Flex is too good.
Yep. Now, Stan McQuay, he's making his comeback. I mean, not many people are considering him to be a factor, but he's a winner of a few of these pro contests. Do you think he can kind of, you know, push for a top five and maybe knock off one of these, you know, maybe like Hide, maybe Jose, or someone like that? I'll go with you, Mick, first.
As you know, mate, I'm a fan of Stan's. I've sort of hung out with him a few times in Golds. When he won that pro show, a couple of pro shows he did, he looked amazing. His hardness was just out of control. I can't see him fitting up in maybe the top three positionings, but I do have him up there in the fourth or fifth. He's got a very pleasing physique, nice shape to him. If he can bring that hardness, which he hasn't in the last two comps, or last few comps he did before he sort of went into semi-retirement, he'll be way out of the running. He's one of those physiques. If he comes in off, he doesn't have the size and the thickness because he's a little bit taller to contend with these guys.
Yeah, he has to be razor sharp, I think. Scott, do you agree?
Yeah, I do, yeah, because, yeah, he is taller, so proportionally he doesn't have that thickness, but he does have one hell of a beautiful shape to him. So, I probably see him just fighting for a top six.
Yep. Now, Jose Raymond, he's one that, you know, it seems like he really rose up quick to the top of the 212s and was one of those guys that was going to challenge almost for the Olympia. And he's almost like digressed a little bit, but he's looking like he's in really, really good condition. He's looking like, yeah, he's going to be able to, you know, at least challenge for that top two. Do you think he's got a chance at top two, Scotty?
Nope. I just don't think he's ever going to have the separation that Flex Lewis and David Henry have. Even when he's 100% on the money and he's granite hard, grainy, vascular from head to toe, he just doesn't have the muscular separation and the pleasing look that Dave Henry and Flex Lewis have. So I don't think he can beat those guys. I think he can beat anyone else in the lineup. And I think he's very, very good, and I'm looking forward to meeting him when he comes out to FedEx. Because I think he's a real good personality as well. So I hope he does well, but I just don't see him at the very top rung of the 212 division. He's second rung down the ladder.
Yep. Mick, what do you think? Do you think Jose can have a chance at top two?
No, I'm exactly what Scott said. It's funny because he can be 100% on and lean as body fat's as low as hell, but he doesn't have that separation in his legs or his chest or his back. Which is a pure genetic thing, obviously, and that's what makes the difference between those other two. You look at Henry and Flex, they've got striations everywhere. They're hard as nails. So I don't think it matters what Jose is going to do. If these guys come off, he could slip up there, but these two aren't going to come off.
Yep. Hidetada Yamagishi is making his 212 debut on, you know, not much. You can't do it on much bigger of a stage apart from the Olympia. He's one that is really intriguing for me because I don't know where he's going to place. I don't know how he's going to look against these shorter guys. Scotty, where do you kind of have him fitting in?
I can give you my prediction now. I've got him third, actually. I've got him beating Jose. I think Hide was a very good open competitor. I think he used to say he probably competed around 218, 220, which probably means he competed around 212 to 215 because everyone lies about their body weight, it seems. So I don't think we're going to see a noticeable difference in terms of size with him. I think he'll be on from a conditioning standpoint. He presents very well. The judges seem to like him. I think he could really shake shit up. The top two, in my eyes, are pretty rock solid like they are in the open men's bodybuilding. But beyond that, I could see him doing some real damage.
Yep. Now, obviously, the champion, Flex Lewis, I mean, I can't see him losing this comp. Do you guys see any opportunity for him not coming in and winning this? Because, you know, I heard Miller say that he thinks he could be, you know, with a year or two under his belt, he could be top three in the Olympia. I mean, do you guys see any chance?
Go for it, Mick.
Mate, I don't. Unless he has a car accident, God forbid, something like that, no one's going to touch him, mate. These off-season photos, well, not off-season, the four-week out pitch, the five-week out pitch were insane. He looked bigger. I don't know how he gets under 212. He's a solid pick. He's a solid first.
Yeah, Scott.
I agree completely, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think Milos Sarkev is just a little bit insane.
You don't think he'd ever be top three?
No, I don't think he'll ever be top three at the Mr. Olympia. I think Milos likes to make really radical claims and things like that just to draw attention to himself. But I think Flex will be very, very good, and he'll be like a 6th to 10th place guy in an open Mr. Olympia, absolutely, because what Mick says, I think he probably could be competing at 218 and be 100% on the money. So to suck down to 212, he might have to sacrifice a little bit of fullness and everything else. So, but Flex, rock solid first place for me. Just too good.
Yep, I agree. Now, Scotty, do you want to kick it off with our predictions? Top five?
Top five for me, Flex first, David Henry second, Hide third, Jose Raymond fourth, Aaron Clark fifth.
Yep. Mick?
Oh, mine was close to that. Flex solid first, Henry, Hide, Jose, but I'm slotting my man Stan into fifth.
Very nice. Now, I've got Flex Lewis first, I've got Dave Henry second, I've got Hitadi Yamagishi third, I've got Jose Raymond fourth, and I've got Aaron Clark in fifth. So I think I've got the exact same as you, Scotty.
You do. I can't believe we all went with Hide, an untested guy in the division, and put him in third. That's a pretty big compliment to him. You'd think with Jose Raymond, multiple top fours in the Mr. Olympia, that someone would have had him beaten Hide.
I was umming and ahhing about that one. I didn't know if to put Jose above him I was very unsure on that one. So, but I think Hide, Hide's going to bring a really good package, and I think he's almost forced to being conditioned by doing this class. So I don't think we're going to see an off Hide. But guys, we're going to launch into our new little thing that we're going to be doing this year, and it's going to be a running thing throughout the year, even when we don't do shows together, where we're going to do, like, I've done it basically betting odds. So it's like, you know, for people that don't know how betting works, basically, you know, if someone's, $14 to win a show or something, it means they have a 14-to-1 chance. So basically the way we're doing it, we're not doing it with money, but whoever wins at the end of the year will, I mean, if I win, then I won't get a prize. But if Scotty or Mick wins, then I'll get them something good. I don't know what, but...
Trip to the Bahamas?
Maybe. But running through it, so I'll run through the list, and I'll basically give a number, and that's basically what odds they've got. And if Mick or Scott or myself pick this person to win, and you just say they're 4-to-1 or whatever, then they get 4 points. So, and at the end of the year, you know, we accumulate the points, and whoever has the most points wins. So I'll go through the Arnold Classic competitors. We've got Evan Centopani, 14-to-1. Brandon Curry, 45-to-1. Tony Freeman, 80-to-1. Cedric McMillan, 13-to-1. Victor Martinez, 35-to-1. Ed Nunn, 70-to-1. Ben Bukowski, 14-to-1. Sean Roden, 3-to-1. Fred Smalls, 40-to-1. Branch Warren, 15-to-1. And Dennis Wolf, 2.5-to-1. Now, guys, you don't, obviously, pick him a favourite here. You're not going to get as many points, but, you know, that might be the guy who you think is definitely going to win. Scotty, who are you picking for our first betting odds?
Look, if you'd had Dennis at 2-to-1, I probably would have gone to Sean, but 2.5-to-1. I'm gonna stick with Dennis as my pick.
Yep. Mick?
Dennis.
Wow, so both going for favourite.
Yeah.
I'll go Sean Roden. So I'll definitely, yeah. So there's definitely going to be either you two winning, maybe if there's a...
You know who's going to win.
I know who's going to win. Why?
Me and Scott.
Yeah, whatever. We'll see. But I think we might all have the same pick on this one, but we'll go through the 212s.
Lex Lewis.
Yeah. I'll go through the top names. I'll go through just top names. Dave Henry, 8-to-1. Flex Lewis, 1.2-to-1. So you only get 1.2 points. Then you've got Jose Raymond, 50-to-1. You've got Hide, 50-to-1 as well. So
Flex.
You got Flex? I got Flex as well.
You know where this is going to be good is all these little 10 grand first place shows. where, yeah, you know, some days you just get guys coming out of the ranks and winning them.
Yeah, and if one of us picks someone who's like 20-1 or 15-1 or whatever, then if you get 15 points, then that's massive. So yeah, you can jump from being like, you know, last place to first place. So I'm going to post this up on the odds that I've made. I'm going to post that up on the RX Muscle. I'll post it up on the Facebook page. I'll post it up on the forum as well. And we want you guys to have your say as well. Like, who would you pick at these odds? You know, you might say, oh, Cedric McMillan, 13-1, get 13 points, you know, if he wins it.
Cause Aaron Pilates would go for who's ever 50-1.
Oh, wouldn't he? Aaron Pilates, right? He would love his game, wouldn't he?
Gee, mate, God, he's out of control at the moment. I think the closer he gets to the comp, he's got more spare time in his hands, the more betting he's doing.
Oh, you told me he stopped for a while. Maybe it was a day.
Please, maybe for half a day.
But, we should get Aaron on here, like, once every, like, every time there's a show on here for his, like, expert picks or something. Yeah.
Oh, great. His dad would love that.
We should actually get Aaron's, like, input and put him in the competition almost, just because... Oh, that'd be good. I'll ask Aaron what his pick is anyway, so we'll see if he can actually, if he'll beat all three of us. But, guys, moving on. Now, we're having a battle between Scotty and Mick, and we're going to see who kind of comes out on top in terms of bodybuilding knowledge and trivia. So we're going to do three questions, and whoever wins, basically... We'll do this every time we've got a show with both you guys on at the same time.
How do I know you haven't messaged these questions to Scott at the start of this show?
Oh, how paranoid.
Oh,
Jesus. Give me excuses in early. I'm actually a little bit nervous.
So am I. I'm sweating a bit. I don't know
if it's anything up. I don't want Mick showing me up.
Mick, come on.
Reminiscent of the play-by-play at the Southerns.
We're both veterans here, Scotty.
We are veterans, but mate, I must admit, I am always pretty impressed with your knowledge when you guys do the controversial Mr. Olympias and things like that. I'm always like, oh yeah, wow, I forgot about that. So this will be interesting.
I've got to be good for something.
We've got some different questions, so I'll kick it off. The first question is, this is a good one, I like this, because it's basically, you know,
how are we answering it?
Well, you'll see. Basically, one person can go, then, actually... At first, I'll let Scotty go first, and then on this one, and then I'll let Mick go second, and then, basically we'll go from there. Okay, 2010 Mr. Olympia, the top six, how many of the top six names can you... sorry, not the Mr. Olympia, the Arnold Classic, 2010 Arnold Classic. How many of the top six names can you name? Scotty, go first.
Oh, man, this is one where you definitely want to go second.
Damn. Oh, okay.
All right, I got to push my mind back. So Dexter was 2013. Branch won two in a row. 2011. I can't even remember who won this bloody thing.
You don't have to place them in order. They can be in any order.
Yeah, I know, but man, I'm struggling. 2010.
Hold on
that. No, let's got to go first, and then the next one you go first, Mick.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Man, I can't even remember.
You honestly don't know who won that comp?
I can't think now. No.
You want some help?
No. Hang on. Kai Green. Surely it's almost a safe bet that Dexter's in there, but just trying to think, man. I'm struggling with this one.
I'll admit to you, I've got the winner, but I'm battling with the rest of them. I'm glad I'm not answering this.
I'm not going to tell you how many you get right until Mick goes. So, just pick. You got two, so you've picked two, have you? You got Kai Green and Dexter.
Yeah, I'll go Kai Green, Dexter. We'll say Dennis Wolf because he did a lot of them. Jeez, when I see the list of the top six, I go, oh, yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was like.
Maybe did Branch do it and just not have his breakthrough yet? Let's whack Branch in there. What have I got, four so far?
Yeah, you got two more.
Four. 2010, that's the first one. Phil won the Olympia. Jay was second at the Olympia.
Buzz him out, Xavier, seriously.
Yeah, this is brutal. This is brutal.
Just chuck out two names.
Buzz him out.
P-Day and he wasn't around yet. Who came with the Aussie Pro? I've got no idea. I'll go with five.
You go with five. Okay.
I'm boring myself that much.
Okay, I must admit, I was battling with this too, and coming seconds made me time to think. So I'm thinking of the 2009 Olympia and who followed onto that. Now, I know Kai's won for sure. I know Phil come in second because he was making a comeback from his piss poor show in 2009.
Yep.
Apart from that, fuck, I'm pretty sure Dexter had the whole year off. Victor, Branch, so there's four. Fuck, who had their first, who was their first pro year? Fuck. I'll put Dexter in. Fuck, he's a possibility. And I'm trying to think of that 09 Olympia, who followed on from there. Fuck, it wasn't Senapani, didn't do that, you did he? I'll stick with Scott. I'll go 5-2 there, mate. I know the top two are absolutely kind, Phil. I remember that.
Yep. Now, Scotty, you got three right.
Yeah.
So you missed out, obviously, on that Phil Heath one in second.
And yeah, Mick, now, as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, that was controversial.
Mick, you got four. You got four out of your five right. You got four.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Who did you pick again, Mick?
I got, Kai and Phil. Yeah. And I had Dexter in there. I had Branch in there. And I had Victor.
Yeah, Victor was not in there. That was the only one you got wrong. But it went, yeah, Kai Green in first, Phil Heath in second, Branch Warren in third, Dexter in fourth, Tony Freeman in fifth, and then Ronnie Raquel in sixth.
Yeah, Raquel.
Yeah, so that was, I remember that comp after I actually, you know, like, I was thinking, like, I'd have no idea. Like, I didn't know you'd be Kai would be around there and stuff like that, and Branch and stuff, but
I should have known Kai and Phil, because that one was real controversial, and it's right before Phil's made the big leap.
Yeah, I thought Phil should have won that one, actually. So
that was Kai's second one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, second question. Who was the highest placing non-American in the 2000 Mr. Olympia? And for bonus points as well, where did they place? Mick?
Fuck.
2000. Yeah.
2000. Okay, you had Ronnie winning, you had Kevin second, you had Sean third, you had Nessa Elsenbuddy. And he placed, that was when he started to slip. He placed six.
Yep. All right, Scotty, do you want to do a venture a guess, or just, you pick the same? Or?
I had to think of this. 2000.
Good question, Xavier.
Yeah,
it is a good question. It's pretty Wolf. It's pretty Ronnie Raquel's breakout.
Are you thinking the same year as me, Scotty? Because I'm saying 2000 Mr. Olympia.
That's what I'm saying. It's pre-Dennis Wolf and pre-Ronnie Raquel. Yeah.
Well,
just trying to think of good
way pre.
Yeah, good foreign bodybuilders. Who was Dennis James would have been considered American, I'm sure. Man. I don't want to just go with Mick's guess because it is Mick's guess. And,
I know when this place.
Yeah, I guess. Man, Kevin. Yeah, it's got to be NASA.
Yeah.
Unless.
And where do you go?
Yeah, place him. I could have had my placing wrong.
One second. Yeah. I can't remember. Maybe around ninth.
All right. Okay, I'll reveal the winner. The guy who put the international bodybuilder that placed the highest was NASA, Elsenbuddy. But he did not place sixth, Mick. He placed fifth, and Lee Priest placed sixth. So I think Mick was the closest. So.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Well, Mick's won it now. But the last question is, we'll do it just for the sake of it. And Scotty, you can go first on this one.
Hang on, this is going to be an ongoing thing weekly, isn't it?
I don't know about weekly. Should we do it weekly? Or should we do it every time we're on?
Maybe we all get on here together. I think my my thinking time really detracts from the appeal of this segment, to be honest.
Yeah, it'll take you a while.
Yeah. Do we need a buzzer? Fucking
we do.
Yeah, I should look at actually the time of the radio show when it goes, and you got like 30 seconds to answer or something.
Use the Magpie theme track as a buzzer.
That would take way too long to answer that. Okay, last question. What is the age of William Bonack? Closest to getting it right wins.
Fucking hell, Xavier.
Loves it. Loves the what is the age question. Yeah. For everyone, and for all the listeners, Xavier pitched this to us as a what is the bodybuilder's age segment.
No, it was the bodybuilder age game.
Yeah.
And both Scott and I said it was lame and we didn't want to do it. Yeah. And now I feel like we've been dragged into this question and this isn't going to decide the winner.
You said, you've already won it, Mick. Didn't you win the first two? Oh.
Yeah, I did too.
Look, 28 years old.
28, okay.
No, I reckon I'm going to push him about 34.
So 34?
Yeah, black guys always hold their age well. I reckon he's a little bit older.
Well, I think he's fucking dead in the middle. He's 31.
Oh, fuck!
I was thinking, I hope Mick doesn't bloody pick, like, you know, like the exact amount of years above, and you fucking did.
Happy day.
That was always the flaw with the what is there, what the bodybuilder game.
Yeah, I should have had like a clause in there, like, you know, if it's over, then you have the less advantage, so it might be youngest without going over or something. But anyway, guys, I just want to mention a few news stories before we wrap up this show, which has been a great show having both you guys on.
Is it about Kelly McConaughey?
Do you want to drop that? Do you want to drop that little bit of information?
If you haven't seen the first episode of Underbelly Fat Tony, check it out. You'll get to see more of Kelly McConaughey than you ever have before.
So, and let's face it, Kelly's probably one of the hottest girls in the circuit at the moment, isn't she?
Without doubt.
You guys are big raps on Kelly, aren't you?
What's that?
You guys are big raps on Kelly, aren't you?
Yeah.
Big raps.
I remember Scotty when I first met Kelly, and did she win that comp?
Yeah,
she won it, and I had someone else winning, and that was the first thing you introduced me, and then you mentioned that to her straight away. It was so bloody awkward. Feel like an idiot.
There's not many girls I can talk to, nothing comes out of my mouth, but she's one of them.
Oh, wow.
I'm like a freaking 10-year-old school kid going, but okay, I've got to go now.
What was I even going to talk about? Okay, the FedEx competition, obviously, it's going to be massive. Tony said there's, you know, going to be a lot of people competing in it and stuff like that. We're talking about the amateur contest.
We're up to about 300 registrations.
There's 300 already.
Yeah.
Do you know that Classic's been split up into several divisions?
Nah, we're thinking about whacking all 36 of you guys on at once.
Yeah, it makes sense. There's going to be... Tony's kind of announced it. He said, you know, I don't know if he announced it properly or what's going on, but there is going to be a FedEx webcast, I believe, Scotty.
There is going to be a FedEx webcast. It's going ahead. The details are still being finalised. So if you don't already like the FedEx Facebook page, definitely get on there because that's where you get the fastest updates unless we break the exclusive here on RX Muscle. So all the details and the links will be provided on there when it's all good to go.
Awesome, and I can't wait for that. I think that's awesome. There's going to be a
so
webcast.
That's the amateur Grand Prix. That's not the pro show.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be absolutely awesome. I think it's great that Tony's doing that and investing in the contest even more. And it's, you know, it's going to be well and truly worth it. And you know, the people that can't make it to FedEx, definitely get on that webcast and get on our play by play as well. Because I mean, last year we had about 12,000 hits in a day or two. So. Which is absolutely massive. So we're going to basically be doing the commentary. We're going to be posting up the photos. We're going to do a lot of photos this year. So
yeah, I'll definitely be doing both because the play-by-play does give you that insight of when you're there in person, which you can't get from a live telecast, much in the same way that Mick and I got that perspective of the Mr. Olympia.
just have to drop that on me. The webcast will be great. Obviously, we're going to put up a lot of pictures as well. So all the competitors and stuff, jump on there. Grab your pictures off there. You know, you can see what you're looking like a bit better because they won't be able to, you know, obviously people at FedEx as well. I mean, a lot of people actually at FedEx that are in the audience, they'll jump on the play-by-play while it's going. And I've actually seen some people, like, on their phones on the play-by-play, which is kind of funny, like, to actually see that. And, you know, they might be looking up, you know, pictures of their, you know, family members or friends who are competing and stuff. So it is really popular, and I'm sure we're going to get a ton of hits still this year. And you know, if I was sitting at home, I'd have the play-by-play open on one window, and I'd have the webcast on the other. So very, very exciting news, and congrats obviously to Tony for sorting that out and getting that going. But I mean, guys, I mean, that's pretty much the show. I want to mention obviously Girls Dig Muscle Radio. The last episode had Rhiannon Harris, Australia's number one IFBB bikini pro, and also Emily Jean Bisgrove Cole, as she's competing in the Arnold Classic Amateur this weekend coming up. And guys, I want to mention that obviously the Arnold Classic Amateur, we have, I think it's about 15 or so competitors. There's an article actually that will be up on rxmuscle.com.au, basically outlining what competitors will be competing at the Arnold Classic Amateur Contest. So we'll be, you know, updating all that kind of stuff through our Instagram page, through our Facebook and all that stuff. So that's exciting. I actually saw a picture, Mick, of Pedro Relvas, who he's made some massive improvements. And for those who don't know, Pedro is, he's one of the most inspirational people in bodybuilding that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing and stuff. And he basically, you know, for those who don't know, he had some, you know, medical issues and stuff, and he basically has to feed himself through a tube, which is pretty, I mean, I've got to imagine, like, traveling would be a bit of an issue, you know, because you can only take so much liquid on a plane and stuff. You'd have to have some sort of allowance for that.
Even in the gym, you see him, you know, his entrance, stuff like that, it's injected in through his stomach. And funny you should say that, I just finished an interview with Pedro for his Lift to Live site, so keep an eye out for that, Xavier.
Oh, and awesome. Yeah. And we're going to be talking to those guys about coming on board with RX as well. So hopefully...
They are keen. Pedro's keen, and we'll be talking a lot more after the Arnold Classic.
Awesome. And yeah, because they've got a great thing going on. And I love his, you know, their clothing line and stuff. They actually stand for something as well. So obviously there's a lot of clothing lines out there in Australia at the moment. But he's obviously, you know, a great guy, and we'd love to have them on board. But guys, the Arnold Classic, it's this weekend. There's going to be a webcast on bodybuilding.com. We'll post that up on our... we'll post a link to that on our Facebook page, RX Muscle Australia. Please like us on there. Also, check out our Instagram, at RX Muscle Australia. We've got heaps of pictures going up there. Mick's actually posting stuff on the RX Muscle Facebook page as well, so we're absolutely killing it.
Yeah. Before we get back, Scott, all the best for the next 12 days till you're pro. Mate, we're all behind you at RX, and fucking, I can't wait to see you out there, mate. I reckon you're going to be your best ever. So absolutely looking forward to that one.
Thank you very much, Mick. You've said some very kind things about me in the lead up to this show, so I'm just hoping I can live up to your expectations.
I'm sure you will. Oh, absolutely you will.
Yeah, I want to mention actually as well, I forgot to mention at the start of the show, we're actually ranked, Aussie Muscle Radio, we've normally been ranked in the top, you know, the top few hundred and stuff in our category in the sports section. We actually got as high as 8th just this week gone, and we went to 8th, then we dropped down a little bit, then we got back up to 8th, so... Whatever we're doing, guys, it's working, because we're ranking very, very high. We're on, you know, the top ranking pages, so it's insane. A lot of people obviously, you know, when they go on the, you know, to check out podcasts and stuff, if anyone's, you know, people say Aussie Muscle Radio, people that are just, I suppose, into the gym and not necessarily into the hardcore bodybuilding scene would get on and listen to it. So I want to thank everyone for jumping on iTunes, subscribing to our podcast and downloading it. And also for people that have took the time out to go to the iTunes store and rate and review us, because when you rate and review the program, it actually, because there's not that many people that can be stuffed doing it, it actually really catapults the our ranking much higher. So it gets, you know, a lot more views and stuff, and that just gets a lot more listeners. So I really want to thank those people that have done that, and I want to encourage all you guys, if you enjoy the show, please jump on there and rate and review us, because that helps us more than anything, basically. So I want to thank our sponsors before we wrap it up. Muscle Nutrition, the show is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Gripped Fitness Accessories, they are the official sponsor of WBFF in Australia, and all WBFF athletes receive 15% off. ATP Science, Matt Legg and the whole crew at ATP Science, thank you for sponsoring the show. My Muscle Chef, their orders close midnight on Tuesday nights for the weekend's orders. Bulknutrients.com.au, check out their website, they've always got a monthly special. International Protein, Christine Enville and Troy Bremner, obviously there, representing some of Australia's best products. Mass Nutrition, over 40 stores around Australia and New Zealand, owned by Luke McNally, who's on this week's show and was a great guest. And of course, Species Nutrition, the official sponsor of RX Muscle Australia. Now guys, any final words before we wrap up this, I think episode number 95 of Aussie Muscle Radio?
No, just that there are some really cool announcements still coming up about FedEx, so I really urge everyone to just pay attention to the FedEx Facebook page rather than private messaging me like I'm some sort of information center for FedEx.
Scotty, I even get that. I get it for sponsors of RX, I get it for everything, and I'm not sure why people don't just maybe email the company or private message the owners instead of maybe contacting me directly and saying, hey, can you get me this or can you do this? It's like, they sponsor RX, I'm not a distributor, so it's quite funny like that. But yeah, I want to encourage everyone, obviously, to support our sponsors and obviously, you know, get right behind FedEx and stuff, because this show is going to be just out of control. Like, it's going to be insane. And that's it, I guess, for this episode number 95 of Aussie Muscle Radio. And remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Yeah! Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.